at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
So the category now, top 10 surprises, but yet there are some surprises in Spider-Man. Top 10 surprises in Spider-Man 3. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Number 10. Spider-Man must stop an angry unemployed Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah. Number 9. Because of promotional tie-in, instead of webbing, shoots Mountain Dew. Number 8. Spider-Man's secret identity is leaked by Dick Cheney. Number 7. New black costume comes with matching pumps and handbag. And number 6, crime rises while Spider-Man is home enjoying Late Show Impressionist Week 2. Number 5, plot centers around the intense negotiations surrounding Spider-Man 4. And number 4, Spider-Man passes out after forgetting to punch air hole in new mask. And number 3, the professor can make a radio out of a coconut, but he can't build a raft to get them off the island. Number 2, well, the ending where Spidey dies was kind of surprising. And
now,
the number 1 surprise in Spider-Man 3, tingly Spidey sense, a result of an intimate encounter with Paris Hilton. There you go.
Our feature presentation.
I don't think his number 1s are ever the funniest out of the 10.
No, you're right. That one certainly wasn't.
Almost consistently 100% not the funniest. I don't know why. I always feel like, wow, number 7 was great. Hey, number 4 was great. Number 2 was, number 1, not that good. I don't know how they pick it. I don't know if they put it in any order, but doesn't
I'm sure
seem
they
like,
try.
I don't know.
They just don't have your sense of humor.
Well, not everyone does. It's a shame. 5:32. Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 7th of May. I see them.
Nice melons.
Speaking of an intimate encounter with Paris Hilton, I wonder if that's how Doc got the shingles, too, while we're at it.
What? What is that?
It's caused by the same virus as chickenpox. Okay. Don't you usually get it from little kids, Lisa? You usually get it from you're being exposed to chickenpox or something?
Yeah, I believe so. I know my mom got him when she was either pregnant or had just had us. And
explains a lot.
Really painful.
Very, very itchy and painful. Yeah, and it lasts for a couple of weeks, I guess. But it's worse right at one time before everything starts crusting over. And it's real contagious.
Oh, dear God. No.
Kind of open, pussy, sores for a while, and then they dry out.
That's...
You know, just speaking of David Letterman had it. Remember, he was off his show, I don't know, 5 years ago or something like that. He was off his show for a week or so because he had the shingles.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't. Yeah. It seems like that's one of those things that you hear about once every 4 years, but no one ever really gets. But I could be completely wrong on that. And it's bad enough.
It's like an old thing that people shouldn't get anymore.
Right, exactly.
It?
Yeah, like outdated.
Like my grandma had shingles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's bad enough, the description of it, the Bean was given. But when you put that together with Doc.
Oh, can you imagine?
Crusty anyway.
1 in 3 gay males may have genitalanal warts.
Okay, that's a different topic.
Can you imagine, Lisa, and I don't want to put a bad visual in your head for the whole day, but
yes,
having to lick Doc's skin all over.
Oh,
can you imagine that?
Oh, what's wrong with you?
On what?
Why would you?
On what world would I have to do that?
But if you did, though, that would be so bad.
You're Psycho Mike all of a sudden.
And after he's worked out, too.
Like he's worked out in 500 years.
Okay, you're on my list.
Okay, Doc is walking down the hall. That's hard.
Last time he worked out was 1938, so you don't have to worry about that. But yeah, so Doc, who we missed last week, or we didn't miss him, but he was out last week, is apparently out again at least today, and beyond that, we don't know. So
wow,
good times. That means we have some more creative
newscasts.
Absolutely.
He's never sounded better.
Never has. That's correct.
Yep.
Speaking of older members of the K-Rock team here.
Uh-oh.
I was here this morning in the studio very early, and Rodney was on the air. And while they were at commercial break, I came in the studio to get some dats and stuff to work on. And Rodney's on the phone with the caller. And I hear Rodney say, yeah, that's not me, though. That's some weird imposter named Ralph.
By the way, it's more of an impressionist than it is an imposter, isn't it?
Right. He's not trying to cash your checks, Rodney. He's just doing your voice.
Some weird imposter.
He must have been talking about the commercials that we did over the weekend.
And then later on, I said, hey, Rodney, just trying to make chit-chat. I was like, Rodney, you going to excited for Wiener Roast? Yeah, I really want to go this year, but probably won't go because I don't want to run into Kevin and Bean.
No, he didn't say that.
I swear on my mother's life.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that is I don't blame him for hating us. I mean, I think if I were him, I would hate us.
Sure.
But it's always fun because we know he's so uncomfortable that every time we run into him, we're way over the top nice guys. Like, hey, Rodney, how's it going? Just to try to engage him. And he's so miserable. He cannot possibly look us in the eye.
Kevin's like a 9-year-old, too. Yeah. He knows Rodney hates us. And we were at the calendar signing the one that was out in Long Beach area. Or no, the one where all the jocks were there, where it was when Red Jumpsuit Apparatus performed. And Rodney's there backstage area, and I see Kevin. And he walks up to Rodney. He's like, hey, Rodney. Hey, Rodney. Hey, Rodney. Hey, Rodney. How you doing? Rodney. And, of course, Rodney's clearly ignoring him. But, Kevin, how are you doing, Rodney? Rodney, I'm right here. I'm talking to you, Rodney.
Kevin.
What a dick.
Well, I mean, come on. It's fun. And then I poke him, usually.
with a sharp stick.
No, it's odd that somebody who's lived, 10, 12 decades hasn't learned to deal with people he doesn't like. That's all.
Well, especially in radio, by the way, there's always hijinks. I mean, everybody else, whether it's, Jed or Stryker and his tail or whoever, Dr. Drew, they all are fine. It doesn't bother anybody when we talk about them or make fun of them because they know that we actually like them. It's just in good fun.
Because they have senses of humor.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's the difference.
That's the difference right there.
So, anyway.
I love Rodney.
So, Kevin?
Yes. How's it feel to be the only guy in this room who saw Spider-Man?
Really?
Yeah. Is that weird?
How did you? Oh, you didn't want to. And that's right.
No,
of the
I mean, I wanted to, but yeah, the people. Yeah. We're the only three people who didn't.
In the whole world.
In the whole world.
What? Yes. How much did it make? I didn't see that.
I think it was 149. I guess Ralph will probably have an updated title for us in a minute. But
stunning.
It's funny because I went to a theater and I was going to go at the 11:40 a.m. and I got there at about 11:39. Uh-huh. So I thought, well, I'm just going to buy tickets for a half hour from now. There's no way I'll ever. And I got my ticket. I went inside. There was no one at the food counter.
No kidding.
So I got food and I went into the 11:40 and I found seats, up close. It was packed, but I found seats at the screening I thought I was going to miss.
That's awesome.
But, yeah.
Is it good?
Well, what do you mean by good, Bean?
How would you compare it to the last one, which I thought was very good?
Yeah, not nearly as good. Really, really fun to watch. Yeah. Like, visually amazing. Just amazing. There's just nothing bad about the way it looks. But it's just...
Dialogue wasn't that good, I heard.
Well, it's just dumb. it's like he's got this black ooze, and when it covers his body, he turns into the dark, Spider-Man. And then you know what they do for the dark Spider-Man? Right. They make his hair a little bit blacker, and they put a black eyeliner on him, and they pull his hair over his eyes. That's crazy black Spider-Man. Ooh, he's got his hair over his eyes. That guy's out of control.
But is the black Spider-Man continuously hassled by the cops, for instance, and getting tickets every time he drives? I mean, what do they do with the black
kind of black. I mean, dark. I mean, evil.
Evil.
I don't mean black.
I see.
At all. No.
Okay, bad guy. All right.
But gotcha. He's got the black suit. He's got the black Spider-Man suit. Right. So then, you know what he does? He's out of control. He pulls his hair over his eyes, man.
Well, that tells you right there, danger.
That's how you can tell.
And his hair barely reaches his eyes, so it's not really very effective. But that's what they do. They put him in a black suit, and then he's got the little eyeliner, little black eyeliner like Omar used to have.
Right.
And he pulls
his... My Chemical Romance concert sometime in the middle of the movie.
And he just messes up his hair a bit. Because you see a guy walking down the street with his hair messed up, you want to get out of the effing way.
Absolutely. Sure.
At one point, I'm not kidding, and this doesn't give away any plot points or anything, but at one point, he does shout under the, under the evil spell. He does shout these words, "Get me some milk!" Those words come out of his mouth.
Were they trying to be funny?
Maybe.
Could have been.
Maybe. There was parts of it that were supposed to be funny, like he's walking down the street under the influence of darkness, and he's like, it's like staying alive.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he's just dancing like all funky.
Or Saturday Night Fever.
Acting all, and that I think intended to be completely funny.
Right.
Right.
But give me some milk, man. I cringed when he yelled that.
How's the Sandman?
Sandman's awesome.
Yeah.
And I will tell you one other thing that I noticed about that movie, and I've never noticed this about any movie before. Every single female in that movie, except for Kirsten Dunst, smoking hot. Everyone. I mean, if you look at a crowd scene.
No kidding.
All hot chicks. And I just kept those. I was like, Wow, I haven't, except for, you know.
Except for the female lead.
Except for Kirsten Dunst. Hey, I think his the old woman that plays his aunt is hotter than Kirsten Dunst.
Maybe they're trying to make up for her with everyone else.
Maybe. So you want to move to wherever Spidey lives.
Yes. Walking down the street, just people in the crowd. You go, wow, hot, hot. Okay, hot, 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 hot.
No kidding.
Yes, I've never seen more casting of hot chicks in a movie. Wow.
Fantastic.
But they don't want to mess with Spider-Man. You know why? Got his hair in his eyes.
Hair messed up. Yeah. Boy, they would be terrified of Petey Wentz from Fallout Boy, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God.
They wouldn't know what to make of him with that hair.
Run the other direction.
Well, Ralph is going to recap the box office weekend and give us a total on what it is. But needless to say, they're making more Spider-Man. Needless to say, this isn't the end.
I'm glad I saw it. I mean, I don't wish I didn't go. And right. Visually, it was just a masterpiece. Just that. And for me, that's enough. But
sure.
It was a lot of crap.
Okay.
There's a lot of crap in
it. Well, I'll still go.
You should still go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll go too.
Just
I'll
stunning. Go this week.
Just stunning visually. It's so good.
Cool. To die down a little bit.
Yeah, it needs to die down a lot, Bean, before you'll like it. You're the kind of guy. See, I'm the kind of guy that wants to excuse that stuff. Bean kind of notices that to the nth degree, so yeah. You're going to be driven crazy.
Yeah,
by that stuff, you're going to go crazy. You're because you know at one. We'll talk about it. At one point the pumpkin. What's his name? The Green Goblin. The
Green Goblin. Yeah.
His dad, who's dead, says, "Avenge me." He comes back as a ghost. Avenge me. Avenge my death. And let's attack his heart first. That's what they said. So then he goes and he kisses Kirsten Dunst like anyone would want to do that. And then he goes and he tells Spider-Man, she's in love with me, man. That's how they get him.
Word.
Such a burn.
Such a burn.
Attack his heart first. Blow me. What is wrong with him? Oscar De La Hoya over the weekend?
Yes.
Hell of a fight.
It was a huge weekend with these two events.
It was. A lot of stuff happening. Kentucky Derby was this weekend, too. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry. I thought you said Kentucky Derby.
It was an amazing race. It really was.
Is that horses?
Guy came from 19th to 1st to win the race in the last half mile of the race.
Wow.
From 19th to 1st. It was unbelievable jockeying.
Okay. See, for me, horse racing is all about, it's drinking. That's why you go. You don't go to watch the race.
Well, they do have some great stories.
You gamble.
Usually for the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read about it a little bit.
Well, we'll talk. We don't have time now because we got to keep our eye on the clock. But we'll talk, obviously, a lot more about the fight this weekend. Got some highlights of it. It was, I think people got their money's worth out of the fight.
I do, too. And again, I'm the only one that thinks what I think. But I think Oscar De La Hoya should have won.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I know. I know, and everyone disagrees with me, but I don't.
Except one judge is on your side.
I'm not a very, I don't know boxing that much.
Yeah.
So I don't hold myself out as any kind of expert. Okay, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Allison Hannigan today.
She's great.
How I Met Your Mother.
She should be playing Mary Jane in the Spider-Man movies before Kirsten Dunst.
I should be playing it before Kirsten Dunst. For God's sake.
Doc and his shingles should be playing it before Kirsten Dunst.
Also on today's show, we're going to tell you about Bob Dylan scaring a bunch of kindergartners.
Oh, that's just sad, right?
Apparently he was just sitting outside a kindergarten and just attacked. I don't know what happened.
No, that's not
he
the
went
case
all show
all.
On their asses.
He went to visit his grandson, and the kids were all scared by the scary man.
Okay, yeah.
That makes sense.
Guys who are virgins on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
I haven't had sex, but I'm going to turn my life around.
Knit 2.0, it's going to be different.
And we have more tickets for you to go to the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2007, and there's a reverend named Kevin Bean. Not kidding.
Huh.
Kevin Bean.
That's interesting.
You're listening, by the way, for the for Weenie Roast tickets. We're going to have a game, but you're also listening for a song, Read My Mind by The Killers.
Okay.
When you hear that, you can call in and win your tickets. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. You are lucky. You're not looking at it. No, we're not on TV anymore. We're not?
No.
That's been canceled?
Yeah, our cable show was canceled. Now we just do radio.
Didn't we used to be on MSNBC every morning? They just simulcast our show and then we got fired?
No. Oh. The nappy headed hoe thing you said.
We used to wear a cowboy hat, the whole deal.
Hey, it's 5:52. It's Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman, ladies and gentlemen, back from the city of brotherly love. What are you, the mayor of Philadelphia now? Did you go to get coordinated?
Actually, yes.
What happened?
Yes, I am. I'm actually the mayor of Philadelphia now. So I've been spending a lot of time.
Do they coronate mayors?
Oh, yeah. They give you a crown and a scepter and an ermine sash. It's very entertaining.
All right. Well, Ralph, what's going on in the showbiz, Beep?
Nothing but Spider-Man 3. That's nothing. Just nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing else going on. Just that.
Just Spider-Man 3.
Smashing box office records, kicking the ass of last summer's Pirates of the Caribbean sequel, Dead Man's Chest. Made $149 million in its first 3 days at the box office.
Sounds like a lot.
Shattering records. Nothing's ever even come close. Dead Man's Chest made $136 million last summer.
Flop.
So this beat that by over $10 million.
Nothing's ever come close ever for a three-day opening?
No.
Wow.
Also broke the single-day box office record of $60 million on its opening day Friday. Dead Man's Chest made $55.8 million in its opening day, so it holds all the records now.
Wow.
Guys, how many movies that come out every year make $60 million for their entire run? What would you guess? Around 20, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 20?
Mm-hmm.
It made it in one day.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Not to mention, it opened overseas last Tuesday, so if you take in the international as well as domestic box office so far, it's made $375 million.
Wow!
My God.
Now, keep in mind, the movie cost over $250 million to make, so it's only made, you know, $125 million in profit. It's not that much, really.
They gotta be bummed out.
Yeah, that's barely breaking even.
And it'll be playing for, what, 2 months now, still?
Yeah. The other nine movies in the top 10 didn't make half of what Spider-Man made this weekend, to put a little perspective for you. But if you are so inclined to find out what other people were going to who couldn't get in to see Spider-Man 3 this weekend, Disturbia, number two at the box office, made about $6 million. So far, Disturbia's made about $60 million, and it's 4 weeks out. It only cost about $20 million to make, so it's a pretty good return on their investment, too.
Yeah.
Fracture was number three. The Invisible was number four. Next was number five. Lucky You. Not so much. Number six at the box office, the Drew Barrymore comedy only made $2.5 million this weekend.
What are you talking about?
Sorry, Dwan. Meet the Robinsons was number seven. Blades of Glory was eight. Hot Fuzz, nine. Are We Done Yet? Still hanging in the top 10 with $1.7 million at the box office.
Kevin.
At number 10. Kevin and his people.
I didn't see it this weekend.
Speaking of Spider-Man 3, here's a quick, interesting email from listener Molly, who writes, "Hey, Ralph, my friends and I were at the Arclight Friday at 9 p.m. to see the opening screening of Spider-Man 3 that weekend. And you know how the Arclight has ushers come out to welcome everyone and ask them to turn off their cell phones and Blackberries, etc.? Well, on Friday night, Tobey Maguire steps out."
Wow.
"And gave the spiel to the crowd."
Wow.
Apparently he had note cards and everything. It was pretty cool. Hope all's well, Molly. So if you were at the Arclight at 9 o'clock on Friday night, Tobey Maguire came out and said, "Can you all please turn off your cell phones and pagers and welcome to the Arclight. I hope you enjoy the show."
Was it the evil hair in his eye, Tobey Maguire, or the other one?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
You gotta be careful.
Would you rather if they had given like a mustache and a goatee, like evil Michael Knight on Knight Rider? Is that what you were looking for?
Wouldn't have been any more stupid.
How would you discern between a guy who's the dark side and the light side?
Oh, I don't know, behavior. I don't know that pulling his hair, which barely reaches his eyes, over his eyes works.
You want to give him a cloak and a pentagram or something? I mean, what were you hoping for?
The way he acts, that's all.
I want Kevin to direct the next one.
Ralph, how many more Spider-Man movies are they going to sign him up for this morning?
Well, he says he won't do it until he sees the script and finds out whether Sam Raimi's involved in the next one or not. So it may be a while before we know if Tobey Maguire returns to the Spider-Man movies or not. But if they do, I assume they'll sign him up for another three and he'll make a gazillion dollars.
What about Kirsten Dunst? Have we heard anything from her?
We have to put a hit on her.
Don't we?
Green Goblin's got to kill her off.
We got to take her out somehow.
The stun pumpkin when you need one.
Bad stuff. Paris Hilton sentenced to jail over the weekend. Could not be happier.
Best story ever.
Yeah, that's hot.
It really brings like universal joy to the world.
Sentenced by a judge to 45 days in county. She has to report on June the 5th. We need like a Paris prison countdown or something. But
and this is in county. A lot of celebrities get to do those pay jails where they pay like $80 a day and stay in Beverly Hills, and they can have cell phones and
I don't know anything
their
about
computers.
That
pay for stay.
Yeah,
someone told me about that, and we were sure that's where she'd end up, and they didn't do it.
Nope, he's treating her just like a human being.
Yeah,
about that.
It's just what she needs. She's going to be sold for cigarettes. That's what's going to happen if she goes to jail.
You need cameras. Now that's a reality show right there.
I don't know if you saw any of the courtroom coverage, but Paris told the judge that she was very sorry, and she said, "From now on, I'm going to pay complete attention to everything." I'm sorry, I did not do it on purpose at all. No, of course you didn't, Paris. Just because your license was suspended and you drove, that wasn't on purpose.
Look, I hate her as much as the next guy, but I kind of am tempted to believe her when she says that she doesn't open her mail, doesn't read that stuff herself, and she just does whatever her people tell her
to
do.
Well, she needs
to. I agree. I'm not trying to defend her, but I'm saying I think it sounds like she got bad advice from her manager or whatever, who she's since fired because he told her her license was only suspended for a certain amount of time, and he was wrong.
Yeah, that's what the story was going into the jail, into the courtroom. But it sounded like a defense ploy to me. She said, oh, here's my publicist, and he'll say what he said. Oh, I told her that it was okay for her to drive.
Right. Somebody taking the fall.
Oh, well, in that case dismissed. You're free to go, Ms. Hilton.
Yeah, that doesn't make it any better to drive on a suspended license. I mean, ignorance of the law, .. as they say. I'm glad she's going to jail. Don't get me wrong.
I heard that Paris Hilton's mom was spectacular.
Wasn't she yelling, this is a waste of taxpayers' money?
Yes.
She said, oh, can I have your autograph? She screamed to the judge as if he was trying to make a name for himself.
Really?
Yeah, she yelled at the judge, oh, can I have your autograph?
He should have put her in jail, too.
Should have.
The only thing that makes me sad is when Michelle Rodriguez had to do time for what did they give her, like 60 days, the chick from Lost who had the drunk driving.
Right.
She ended up being in and out of there in like 2 hours because they were so overcrowded.
Yeah.
They said, I get out of here. So I'm hoping that Paris gets some time.
Even regular folk who sometimes go in for especially DUI do get their sentences cut short because of, as being mentioned, the overcrowding situation in county. So it's possible she may get bounced after.
How much space does Paris Hilton take up?
That's true.
You know? Did they say anything, Ralph, about her being in general population? Are they going to isolate her at all?
Does not say one way or the other about where she will do her time. I guess they'll have until June to kind of figure that stuff out. But I'm just thinking she could slip right between the bars.
Sure.
They got to be careful where they put her because they better get some chicken wire or something up because she just turns sideways. Boop, she's out the door.
Walk right out.
Got to be careful.
That's
hey, Nicole Richie could climb through the keyhole. I mean, you can't do anything to keep her in if she gets in.
You could smuggle her out in one of those poster tubes, one of those mailing tubes, you know. She could really get out pretty easily, so you got to be careful. Apparently, ABC has okayed a proposal by the producers of Lost to extend the series 3 more years.
Oh,
no.
Good idea.
Really?
Let's stretch it out some more, shall we? But what they're going to do is they're going to make a shorter season. They're going to do 16-episode seasons.
Hmm.
Okay. Is that going to help?
I don't know. But they say this way they can try to schedule the episodes to air without repeats and show them all in one hunk. So that you can follow along a little easier than taking extended breaks like they did with this particular season. So.
I'd like to see the mysteries wrap up is what I'd like to see.
Nope.
Rather than extend for 3 years.
Stretch them out. I mentioned to you last week that John Schneider had put up his infamous General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard on eBay.
Yeah, you said it was going for like a couple million.
And I said the high bid at the time was $2.1 million. And we all went, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, over the weekend, it sold for a little more than $10 million.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That makes the General Lee the second most expensive car ever auctioned off.
Is that a bogus eBay bid?
No.
You know that happens
sometimes. They confirmed it. They confirmed it.
Really?
And a fan actually paid $10 million for the original General Lee. The most expensive car ever auctioned off was a 1931 Bugatti. And this, someone paid $11 million for that. So this is the second most expensive car ever auctioned off.
My favorite thing is that guy's going to spend most of his time going, yes, it is. It's the real one.
Dude, it is.
I'm serious.
Yeah, right. You just painted some Charger orange and slapped a Confederate flag on it. No!
$10 million.
Here's John Schneider to tell you more. He has to have like John Schneider in the back seat to tell everyone that it's the real deal. And this may be interesting. They're looking to do a biography motion picture about Freddie Mercury, lead singer for the legendary rock band Queen.
Oh. Right.
Now, for the longest time, producers have been pursuing Johnny Depp to play the lead, which I think
is
an interesting choice. But they've since abandoned that process, and they are now talking to Sacha Baron Cohen about playing Freddie Mercury.
Really?
And if you think about him, if you look at him, if you slick Borat's hair back with that mustache, he looks a lot like the dude.
He does.
Who knows whether he can sing and prance or not, but I think it would be an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see, but I'd like to see that happen. Freddie, of course, died of an AIDS-related illness in 1991. He was just 45 years old when he passed, so
people who are maybe listening who are too young to remember Mr. Mercury when he was alive, he was one of those really flamboyant celebrities who was in the news all the time and ran in the social circles with all the famous friends and was always doing, saying controversial things. I mean, he's the kind of guy it would be an entertaining movie to see about. It's more than just a guy standing up there singing the Queen songs.
Yeah, not to mention he's an enormous talent, but yeah, he was a very flamboyant character. Ah, today's celebrity birthdays. Oof, it's rough. It's rough.
Another rough day.
Not a rough day. Mm. I got Phil Campbell of Motorhead.
Oh!
No.
He's 46. I got Eagle Eye Cherry.
Not even a celebrity anymore.
Eagle Eye celebrates his or her birthday. 35 years old today.
I don't even really know.
It's a her.
Brecken Meyer.
He's a good actor.
Yeah. But he was in the Garfield movies. I got to hold that against him.
Okay, he's out there.
So he's 33. Oh, here we go. Former porn star Tracy Lords.
There you go. Tracy Lords
celebrates her 38th birthday today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Saw the fight over the weekend. I was at a Cinco de Mayo party, and I was taping the fight. And a bunch of the guys that were there at the party, they were like, oh, I wanted to see the fight. Oh, I wanted to see the fight. So we started plotting, and we were like, okay, as soon as women start drinking, we'll get to the car, we'll go to my house, we'll watch the fight. It's only 36 minutes total,
they'll
right?
They'll never notice that you're gone.
Three rounds, right.
Is that
they'll
your
never
idea?
Notice. We'll go watch the fight. We'll come back.
Oh my God.
Once again, your logic is flawless.
She got back about midnight. It didn't work out very well. And the women were mad. But it was a great fight.
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was a great fight. I don't know a lot about boxing. Ralph, you know a lot more than I do about boxing. But I was entertained by it.
It was fine. It was an entertaining fight, but it was hardly a great fight. The first fight of the night, the undercard, was the best fight of the entire evening.
Oh, I had to fast forward through that one.
Go back and watch that one. You'll like that more.
But Floyd Mayweather Jr. Ended up winning. And I thought Oscar De La Hoya should have, just for one reason, and Oscar said it himself, is that he was pressing the fight. It looked like Floyd Mayweather Jr. was just avoiding any kind of fighting. And when Oscar De La Hoya would come in, then he would counterpunch or whatever. But Oscar De La Hoya said, if I didn't press the fight, there wouldn't have been a fight. And I agree with him. I just looked like...
Well, that's a fine strategy as far as when you're pressing the fight, then you're landing the punches and you're hitting with accurate
punches.
But
you're also opening yourself up. If you have to be the aggressor and you have to lead.
It's always been Mayweather's style. He's hit and don't get hit. That's his strategy. He gets in, he throws very exact, very accurate punches in one or two punch combinations, then he backs the hell out and doesn't get hit. He's a very defensive fighter. That's how he wins, is by not getting hit.
That's what Jim Lampley warned us of when we talked to him on Thursday,
by the way,
he's not an exception because he throws fewer punches but with more accuracy.
And he's so fast and so elusive that he's hard to hit. He's very hard to fit. Yeah, Oscar had to press a fight in order to try to win, but when he got there, he wasn't landing the shots that he should have. He abandoned his jab pretty early on in the fight, and that's what really was his most effective punch of the whole evening.
Tell me about Larry Merchant.
Oh, dear God.
Who is the slowest, most boring man alive? I know he's been in the fight game for a long time.
Yes, he has. Too long.
White-haired old dude.
Too long. Mm-hmm.
And he's the ring interviewer. He goes in and does all the interviews. And my God, I wanted to take my own life because of him.
He has become an arrogant old fart who just thinks he is boxing's grandmaster and just goes on and on and on in a deadly dull style.
I wanted Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather Jr. to attack him together as a team. It was just, listen to this interview. This is the first interview that he did of the night. And this is with Floyd Mayweather Sr., the father of the guy who won the fight, who used to train Oscar De La Hoya, who might be more boring than Larry Merchant. So you put the two masters together, and this is what you get.
And now let's go to Larry Merchant.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Floyd.
That's Larry Merchant, by the way. You're already like, okay, did you not know they were coming to you?
You're a fighter. Your son, you have mixed emotions tonight.
Very much so.
Now, Bean, you're the least patient guy in the world, right? At this point, aren't you already looking to end the interview and just say, okay, hey, thanks for your time?
So far, I love what I've heard. I'd like to hear more.
It almost went on for two full rounds, almost. There was one complete three-minute round that went on while he was talking to...
There's a fight going on while they're doing this interview, really? Keep in mind.
Yes.
I really don't want to see either one of these guys even fight.
Okay,
sorry.
He doesn't want to see his son or Oscar De La Hoya, who he trained for 7 years. He doesn't want to see either of them fight.
He didn't want to see them fight each other, I think is what he said.
You know, I trained Oscar for 6 years, and I trained my son to be world champion. And I just don't want to see these guys fight, but what's done is done.
Okay, so Bean, at that point, aren't you like, okay, back to you guys in the booth?
Yeah, I that's what I do. I jump in if I'm the younger guys, yeah.
You have a rooting interest? Where is your heart? Where is your head?
Good, follow up.
You know, I don't want it to happen, man, because, you know, Oscar been very, very good to me. And I appreciate Oscar.
Fight going
on. Oscar's a good guy, fine guy, and I really like Oscar. I really do. But it really bothers me that...
Okay, there I had to edit it for time because it's about another 5 minutes where he went on talking about how it bothers him.
Hey, why isn't Senior in the football play-by-play booth with John Madden? That's my question.
And at the end of the day, it's going to be the best man win.
Really? Thanks. Okay, back
so
to
you're
you
rooting for a draw.
Oh, no. Another follow-up.
That'd be good. It'd be fine. But you know something? Even if it come out to be a draw, they're going to have to come back and do a rubber match. About that.
Now, Senior's asking Merchant what he thinks about the rubber match. So now, Senior's tossing it back to Larry Merchant, who's the slowest, most boring interviewer ever.
Well, all that money.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing.
Stop.
In the richness part.
Now, that's the referee. I think he's talking to the boxers in the ring, but he might be talking to the interview.
Yeah.
I'm not positive.
Stop.
Does Senior know that it's not a rubber match, it's a rematch? If there's one fight and then you have another fight, it's just a rematch. It's not a rubber match.
Floyd Mayweather Sr. lost his wealth in this particular event. I can tell you that.
Okay. Another 5 minutes taken out?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you like this. You know, from the standpoint that me and my son was, you know, and some of the things that he has been saying about his daddy.
Absolutely, right.
And things of that nature, I really felt...
Isn't somebody in the booth saying, get away from him. Please move on. Toss it back to the guys.
At the time, I wanted to do it. But, you know, I knew somewhere.
Okay, I don't have time for the
You know,
for the
you can't really
minutes.
Lose, though, if it's a pay-per-view. It's not like anybody's switching away because you paid $55 to see the fight. You're not going anywhere. So it didn't really matter what they put on the screen ahead of time.
At least they were cutting to the fight occasions. You could watch that while you were listening to them. It would have been worse if it had been downtime in between fights and you just had... You know, a close-up on Larry Merchant talking to the Predator, which, by the way, is exactly what Floyd Sr. looks like. He looks like the Predator from the Predator movies. He's got these long dreads and this sort of Klingon forehead, and it's all very frightening.
Now, after that 45-minute interview, I realized that Larry Merchant is not only the interviewer, he can actually jump in anytime he wants and make a very poignant point about the fight that's going on.
What if, say, Floyd Mayweather were a blinged-out, souped-up Porsche? Built for speed.
Okay.
And what if Oscar De La Hoya was an Aston Martin with power under the hood?
Okay, what if?
And it turned out they had a collision.
A collision is what everybody most hopes for.
Jim Lampley jumps in quickly to just cut off that old bam, just babbling old fool.
And what if?
And what if they had...
Floyd Mayweather.
A head on.
Wore boxing gloves.
Larry what if Merchant your name was Asshore?
The ring.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, so now they go back to him in the ring, and he's interviewing Floyd Mayweather Jr., who just finished winning and is a super fast talker.
Okay. Floyd, you seem agitated. What are you agitated about?
I'm not agitated. I'm having fun. You know, I'm happy. It was a hell of a fight. That's what the fans wanted. I told the fans they was going to get a good fight, so we gave them a good fight tonight. But first off, I got to thank God for this victory. My team.
He's trying to form another question, but he can't. So Floyd jumps back in.
Mayweather, Al Heyman, Leonard Ellerby, we got the best team in the world, the best trainer in the world.
Well, only...
Roger Mayweather, come on over here, Roger.
Wait, only you were in the ring, though, tonight.
This is the best trainer right here.
He whooped his ass, and I stayed over his ass.
Roger, by the way, the best spokesman for boxing ever.
Well, that was Roger's game plan, really.
They cut to the corner every time. You could hear them giving their fighters advice. Uh-huh. And every single time he would say, whoop his ass. You gotta whoop his ass. I can do that, right? Whoop it. You gotta whoop his ass. He whooped his ass. I told him to whoop his ass.
You ain't doing ass. Yeah.
And I was pressing the fight, so I mean, you gotta beat the champion.
decisively, and I was just pressed. If I didn't press a fight, there would be no fight.
All right, that's Oscar, and that's why.
So you thought that.
Okay, no, Larry, no follow-ups. I'm sorry. No follow-ups.
We don't have that kind of time.
So what do you think happened after that? Just to bookend the night. You had the first interview. You had the couple of fights. Then you had Floyd Mayweather Jr. winning 12 rounds, went all 12 rounds. They discussed who won, who threw more punches, who was more accurate, all that kind of stuff. They send Larry back into the ring. He interviews both fighters. And then, to end the night.
Thank you. And now, to Floyd Jr., Sr., who was in the middle of all of this.
Back to Floyd Sr.
Oh,
with his heart and with his head. How did you see the fight, Floyd?
Well, I'm just going to be honest with you, man. If you want to call fight by scoring, point system, I mean, by who throwing the more punches, you have to give it to Oscar. But if you're just going on a guy hitting a guy with single shots, then you have to give it to my son. I mean, my son was, he had good defense. I'm not saying a lot, he caught a lot of punches with his shoulder and his arm, but, so you're here, it's still about punches. It's about people, a guy throwing punches. No,
so what? So what you're touching you? So what you're saying? So what you're saying here is that you felt that because Oscar was pressing the fight and throwing a lot of punches, and that Floyd Jr. was throwing single shots and just blocking punches, you could have seen Oscar getting the decision. Is that what you're saying?
You know, I thought the fight was a close fight, but it's just where the point system go, man. You know. If you look at the point system, man.
Okay, listen.
Who touching who the most?
Oscar or Floyd? Who won?
Hey, man, if you go by point system, you're going to have to give it to Oscar. If you go by point system.
Thank you. Jim?
His own father says, if you're going by the point system, which is all they go by, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that's
a knockout.
Yes. That's it. They go by the point system. You have to give it to Oscar. It's his father.
Wow.
Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s father. You want to hear more, Bean?
No, thank you. All set now.
I have about 15 minutes of Larry Merchant just stammering. No, you want that?
That's okay. But if you ever wondered what an old folks' home sounds like, now you know.
Yeah. He needs to die, right? Everyone's with me on
that. That's the downfall of boxing. They're saying about, there's no name boxers, there's no great fights anymore. No, it's Larry Merchant that is single-handedly killing boxers.
Nine Inch Nails on the way. Also Nirvana, Muse, and of course you're listening for Korn's Freak on a Leash. Be caller 20 when you hear it. Win your tickets for K-Rock's Weenie Roast to E-Fiesta 2007. What? What's the problem?
Did we already play Read My Mind?
We played The Killers. Yeah, we played that. Talked about that. Congratulated that winner. Then that moved on to the new song that we're listening for right now.
And that's
which
Korn.
Is Freak on a Leash by Korn. Also, our pal Allison Hannigan from CBS's How I Met Your Mother coming up in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning on the world-famous K-Rock.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520 Afro. We have some very, very funny listeners.
Am I supposed to have an Afro to call the Afro Line? Oh, what? Like, why is it called Afro Line? Because am I, not supposed to be here?
See what he did? Jimmy Kimmel, why it's called the Afro Line, by the way. It was his brilliant idea.
Bean has been obsessed with and keeps trying to convince everyone, although it can't possibly be true, that he loves the Queen of England, who's 900.
Yes.
I did. 81.
Ooh, my name's Bean, and I love the Queen. Ooh. Yeah, she's so hot. Oh.
Yes, she is.
Proud to make this announcement. Everybody who wanted tickets over the weekend for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta got them.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had a fantastic experience.
Chicken Master and scalpers.
Except for that guy. That one guy. That one guy.
All right.
Last week, we told you a little story about Bean, who was driving his car into the ground to see what kind of mileage it got on a tank. He let it run out of gas.
Yeah,
had his wife in the car, Saturday night, freeway.
Good times.
Gee, the yellow light on my car says low fuel. Whatever shall I do? What would Bean do? Keep driving? All right. What a douche.
There's a lot of arguing over who is the worst driver in Southern California.
You know, I hate people who get it wrong. You know, you want to say Asians are bad drivers or old people are bad drivers. You know, I have a firm believer, you know what? Women are the worst possible drivers on the road. Wait a minute, no. Asian women are the worst possible. Wait a minute, no. Old Asian women, those are the worst effing drivers on the road.
That is the trifecta.
I got to tell you, my experience is any old is bad. All old people.
Old is bad.
They're all terrible drivers.
Yeah, they need to get really nervous.
It's not old Asian. It's not old Mexican. It's not old white. It's everyone that reaches a certain age blows on the road.
They start stopping for yellow lights.
Yes.
Yeah.
What kind of a driver do you think Floyd Mayweather Sr. is?
Think about that. That dude drove himself to the fight on Saturday night.
K-Rock song?
Oh, so sad to see them go.
You want the best DeJuan call ever?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And we've had some good ones. Check this out.
Hey, this is DeJuan from Los Angeles, California. In and out. In and out. That was a hamburger. That was a hamburger. That was a hamburger. Some guys work at In-N-Out as Mike's buddy. Please get me a job there and please try hard. All right? Peace out.
Well, if they need someone to sing the jingle in their commercials, you got that job.
Best song ever, I'm guessing.
It's very likely that Cinco de Mayo is becoming May Weather.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Look at that.
Appreciate
look at that.
That's good.
Good stuff.
Announcing right there.
Excellent. 6:54 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KRQ. You guys know the window licker Nick that we talk to from time to time?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's me.
Of course.
He now is so famous and has a network television contract that prohibits him from talking to us, and we'll explain what that's all about coming up after 7 o'clock. His career in better shape than ours. Coming up after 7 here on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Wobbling webcakes. My spidey sense is tingling.
Me shooting webs.
Is that okay. What you're doing?
Yeah.
Spider-Man mode. Spider-Man 3. Biggest box office smash in the history of moving pictures. You know the medium where they show you people moving on a screen?
Right?
Yes.
Of all they ever made of that type of entertainment, those from the history of all cinema ever.
Right.
This made more money than any one weekend than any ever.
All right, Donald Trump, you got anything to back up that claim?
How about Spider-Man 3 making $149 million in 3 days?
Wow.
That beat the record made by the Pirates of the Caribbean sequel Dead Man's Chest, which was $136 million. That bested by $12 million. $149 million in 1 weekend. Nothing else even close. It even broke the single-day box office record with $60 million on its opening day, which was Friday, which also beat Dead Man's Chest record. The previously held record was $56 million. So, just an insane, insane smash hit.
Now, it helped, of course, that it was on over 4,000 screens in this country, but you can put it on as many screens as you want. If people don't want to go see it, it's not going to make that kind of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of films that are in wide release that are released on roughly that many screens. I mean, that is a lot of screens, but
was the most ever, but clearly they were filling them, too.
Yeah.
Would you guess this is the only movie over the weekend that had the evil character shouting, "Get me some milk!"
No. I think...
More?
I think Lucky You also had that line in it, so wasn't that line. The next biggest moneymaker was Disturbia on the top 10 list, which made $6 million. $140 million? $6 million. That was the drop-off from 1 to 2.
Wow.
In fact, the next 9 movies didn't make half of what Spider-Man made in 1 weekend. Fracture made about $3.4 million, making it number 3. Then you had The Invisible. Next, Lucky You, the new Drew Barrymore movie, made $2.5 million at the box office. Meet the Robinsons was 7. Blades of Glory was 8. Hot Fuzz was 9. Are We Done Yet? Was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Listener Molly sent us an email I read earlier today. A little interesting scoop about Friday night's screening of Spider-Man 3 at the Arclight Movie Theater. They showed it at the Dome there, and the 9 o'clock showing. Molly and her friends went to the Arclight, and she wrote the following. You know how the Arclight has the ushers that come out to welcome everyone and ask you to turn off your cell phones and Blackberries and pagers? Well, on Friday, Tobey Maguire stepped out and gave the spiel to the crowd. Apparently, they had written him little note cards and everything. He did a good job. It was pretty cool. I guess that's got to be a little surprising when you're sitting there and you're expecting pimply face fun nerdster to come out and, you know, say, welcome to the Arclight. This is Hollywood's premier movie-going experience. Please turn off your radios and be quiet and be sensitive to your neighbor's movie-going experience.
How is that any different than how Tobey Maguire talks to
you,
by the way?
How dare you, sir?
I'm just saying he's kind of a quiet dude.
Pistol is at dawn, sir.
Good guy. That's bad.
You'll get the rent when you fix my damn door!
That's how angry
another line
he was.
From Spider-Man 3?
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. But
evil Spider-Man.
I'll join in after I've seen it. I mentioned last week during my Showbiz Beats that rumors were going around that there would be something that Lindsay Lohan did that was captured on a cell phone video camera that yes. would change the way her young fan base looks at her. Well, ooh. That story has finally popped.
Yes, please.
Comes out of the News of the World, a British tabloid, which has photographs and the story of Lindsay Lohan doing blow in the bathroom at Teddy's nightclub at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel.
How shocking.
Oh, yes. Is that a surprise to anyone?
Well, it's a surprise she let herself be photographed doing it, I guess. According to the story, a friend took the pictures. Well, that's a good friend right there.
Friend.
Claiming that Lindsay did 20 lines of coke in that one night alone.
Wow.
Lindsay does not care who sees her do coke or where she does it, the friend adds. She says she carries around a water bottle to try to fool everyone she's thinking she's clean into thinking she's clean, but she tips the water out periodically and refills it with vodka and soda. Well, she's clever, if nothing else.
She is.
Good times.
The video, which was shot at, as I mentioned, Teddy's nightclub at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood, shows her arriving at 11 p.m., then skulking around the ladies' room before creeping inside a cubicle with two friends, pulling a small bag of white powder from her jeans, dipping her finger in the powder, shoving the substance off one friend's nose before snorting some herself. By the way, that film was shot 20 days after she emerged from rehab.
Well, don't they want you after rehab? Don't they want you to go back and try to make sure you don't like it?
You want to normalize.
Right.
Like Christopher last night in The Sopranos. You want to just right. be able just to be normal. You got to hit a plateau. Just don't get too crazy.
Don't be extreme. Don't drink zero. Just right. drink a little bit.
So there were three people in the stall, and one of them was videotaping this
yes.
with their phone. Nice.
The friend says, I've lost count of the number of times I've watched her do cocaine, or... when she is on coke, which is most of the time, all the attention has to be on her.
Really?
She loves to strip down naked in front of everyone. She loves to check herself out in the mirror as she parades around with her boobs hanging out. Dude. One night we got back to her place, and as always, as soon as she walked through the door, she stripped down to her thong, bent down, and snorted cocaine off her coffee table.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Where's the video of that?
I've never been more turned on than I am right now, by the way, by Lindsay Lohan. It also goes on to document her sexual escapade, saying she told me that she slept with James Blunt, Jude Law, Callum Best, Joaquin Phoenix, Benicio Del Toro, Jared Leto, and James Franco.
Wow.
She's a goer.
She is truly the best girl in the world. That's what she is right
when
there.
When she turns 21, she's going to go, oh!
She's going to partay.
Right.
You know what comes before part B, don't you? Partay.
Sure.
Another party girl, which may or may not be a cautionary tale to young Ms. Lohan, is Paris Hilton, who's been sentenced by a judge to 45 days in the L.A. County Jail for a parole violation. She has to report by June 5th, which would give her just enough time to bedazzle a jumpsuit. Where she goes in there so she has a little bling while cleaning the toilets.
I saw some people speculating that this can only be good for Paris Hilton and her reputation and her fame. By the way, this just makes her even bigger than she was before.
Well, it does increase her profile. It will be a big story for the next 45 days, that's for sure. Also, we were speculating earlier on today what kind of time she'd be doing because of her fame, if she'd be in general population. A listener emailed with some inside information. They said that she will be in her cell, according to the L.A. County Jail, for about 23 hours a day. And they'll give her 1 hour out for exercise and that kind of stuff. But they will keep her confined to her own cell so that she won't be mixed up in the general population, which could be troublesome to her.
What's she going to do with just herself 23 hours a day?
Her usual. She'll read the classics. You know, we'll give her a chance to catch up on her Wadsworth and her Emily Dickinson. She's a huge poetry fan.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Sure. That's hot.
She'll be reading some Meisner. I know she's boning up on her acting techniques, too, so she'll be busy.
Boning.
Easy, Beavis. Today's celebrity birthdays, not much to speak of. Well, of course, Eagle Eye Cherry, as we mentioned earlier. Yeah. He or she celebrates his or her birthday at 35 years old today. And Tracy Lords.
Oh.
One of the legendary porn stars of the 80s who then transitioned to become a mainstream actress. Just recently, she was on the Andy Richter show where he was a private detective.
How'd that work out?
The show?
She's funny.
Not so good. She was good in it. She's always good.
It was a good show, too.
You can't really see any of her best work anymore, you know, because she was underage when she did it. There's only one porn movie she ever did, which she made when she was over 18. So
only one?
Her canon. Her body of work is mostly lost to the ages, which is tragic, trust me, as one who followed her career from early on. She's 38 years old today. I'm Rob
Welcome Carter. To my nightmare.
Yeah, tell me about it, Rodney. It was so funny. I was in Philadelphia over the weekend, and my friends listen from time to time on the internet. They'll stream us.
Right.
And so I was with my buddy Tommy watching the fight at his house Saturday night. He's like, who is that guy you do with the high voice who just is just obsessed with 80s bands? I was like, oh, yeah, you wouldn't know. It's Rodney. Rodney on the Rock.
Only people in Southern California have any idea that magic.
He's like, don't get me wrong. It's funny. I love what you guys are doing to him, but I just don't know who that dude is. And I said, all right, it's Godhead. You don't know me. I'm really famous with Blondie.
And did you know that the OC Weekly has Staples Weekly?
Yeah.
They do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Rodney. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, if Nick the Window Licker is listening, we're not allowed to talk to you, so I guess we can't share this email from K-Rock listener Allison, who's writing in to say she'd be happy to take your virginity away from you. Too bad. Oh! Unfortunate, we're not allowed to call and hook you up with her information because we're not allowed to by MTV. Sorry.
Shouldn't sign that deal.
Yep, so you'd be getting some tonight.
So MTV has some auditions for male virgins.
Mm-hmm.
And Psycho Mike went down. Psycho Mike?
Yes.
Where and when?
Sharky's in Huntington Beach. This last Saturday, Cinco de Mayo.
What's the show called, Mike?
Virgin Guy Stuff.
Isn't it Suburban Virgin? Is that there what we heard go. On Friday?
That sounds good.
And what do they do in the show? Do they try to get you laid, or do they just make their show your pathetic life so the rest of us can laugh at the futility of you trying to get laid?
Well, I don't know. I didn't really talk to the MTV people too much because, first off, they weren't really all that agreeable and.
They told you not to talk to anyone.
Didn't have too warm a reception for me, because they didn't want me messing with their auditioners.
A flock of people that came down there to audition?
The thing is that, look, if you're going to have an open audition for male virgins, mm-hmm. Huntington Beach on Cinco de Mayo, probably not a target-rich environment for men who are not getting poontang.
Any place in Huntington Beach.
I mean, the place was just jam-packed with people who were drinking and all tan and good-looking and everything. And I'm like, these guys are morons. They're never going to get any virgins here.
So was there a long line of virgins out the door?
I was there for 3 hours. And I guess the manager at Sharky's, who, by the way, was very cool, and that we want to talk a warm reception, those guys were great to us.
Fantastic.
I guess the MTV people were there since about 11 in the afternoon. I got there about 1. Mm-hmm. I stayed till about 4 or 5. They saw no one while I was there.
There between 11 and 10.
Zero people coming in for their open audition. But I guess afterwards, when I was leaving, I was talking to the MTV people. They said they got one guy from that open audition signed, sealed, delivered. So.
Sure. Yeah.
How does that make Nick feel, by the way, signing up as a virgin? They go to the entire town for hours. They can't find the number one.
That's my thing. I think that's why they were so hard and heavy on Nick, and that's why they signed him up immediately, is because they probably knew they weren't going to get a lot of opportunity.
I don't think there's a lot of guys out there that want to proclaim to the world they're a virgin.
I agree.
You're right. Even
I
if they are, it. And even if they're happy with it, which, and, you know, for religious reasons or whatever.
Guys are not going to broadcast to the world that they're a virgin unless they're doing it for religious reasons and they're making a statement to do it. And those are the guys you don't want to follow on a TV show because they're not going to try to get laid anyway.
They're also the guys that aren't going to be at Sharky's in Huntington Beach on Cinco de Mayo.
Good point.
Yeah. Now, Lisa, you've said in the past that virgins are not attractive to a lot of women. It's just too much trouble, right?
Oh, I broke one person in.
Yeah.
And he would not leave me alone.
didn't realize the big favor you did?
Get rid of him.
Yeah. Wow. Well, because he was afraid you were going to be the last one. He thought, I finally got it from her. I'm not going to give her up.
Isn't there some kind of joy about the teaching of the.
If you don't care about your own pleasure, sure.
Yeah, true. So Psycho Mike was there. He had a microphone. Didn't have a lot of virgins to talk to.
Well,
so.
Yeah. I went down there to talk to these male virgins and get their opinion on things, but there were none. So I figured, look, I'm in a packed bar, and this is a target-rich environment. If you're trying to get laid, this was the spot. I mean, there were so many hot chicks there, and all the chicks were hammered. So I started talking to girls, trying to get their idea, maybe get some tips from them on how male virgins could possibly break, sign the deal, and also to get their idea on what male virgins mean to them.
Have you went out on a date, say, with a man, and at the end of the night you really liked him and everything was going, going well, and you liked everything about him thus far, but he told you he was a virgin, what kind of idea would that plant in your head?
It would plant in my head that he was very, very dedicated to his religion, because usually it's related to some kind of a religious belief, and that it's not going to be a fun thing.
Well, that's what Lisa said. There you go.
That's right.
Yeah, not going to be good times there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Tell me about the girl that the next girl you talked to.
Well, and then I said, you know, saving yourself for marriage, is that appealing to you? Is that something you see it as romantic and special? Does it have a little panache, or is that something, you know, kind of offensive?
People save themselves for marriage is stupid because you need to have that sexual experience so you can, like, learn from it. So I just don't like it.
All right, in a perfect world, what age should a man lose his virginity?
I would say 17.
Why is she talking normally and you're yelling like a retard?
I don't know.
In a perfect world. I'd say 17.
I don't know. I think it was Nick rubbing off on me.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at, by the way. Saving yourself for marriage is stupid, by the way. That's...
Look, I mean...
Well, you're at Cinco de Mayo at a bar.
Sure, I understand.
And people are drinking. What kind
of
answer?
Look, I wouldn't do it, but I do respect the decision of those who decide to.
If you're going
to
meet a chick at church, you might get a different, you know, a different response. But these girls who are looking for, you know, some studs, it's not exactly that appealing.
So you guys that are virgins out there that don't necessarily want to tell anybody, the next clip is for you because I think it pretty much clarifies.
Exactly. How does a male virgin become more desirable to the opposite sex?
What can these men start doing to maybe improve their odds with the ladies?
Just learn how to use your tongue properly.
Oh. So you mean like be able to spit game?
Yes, exactly.
That's
or maybe like
about.
Tie a cherry strand with your tongue.
Does that work with women?
I don't know.
Okay.
Remember the movie?
Remember the movie?
Yeah, that came from. Right? Lost Highway. Remember Robert Blake before he killed all those people was in that? Remember how great he was in that?
Oh, that was a crazy movie. That was fantastic.
Awesome. Smashing Pumpkins on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's 7:45. It's Monday morning. Our friend Allison Hannigan from CBS's big hit show, How I Met Your Mother, getting into its final two shows of the season, is going to be joining us just after 8 o'clock this morning on K-Rock.
So the New York Post has an article that says kindergarten kids in the ritzy L.A. suburb of Calabasas have been coming home to their parents and telling them stories about a scary guy coming into their kindergarten class to sing scary songs.
They're letting a scary guy come in?
Yes.
Homeless guy hanging out on campus? What are you talking about here?
The weird one turns out to be Bob Dylan.
Well, that is scary.
Whose grandson, Jacob Dylan from the Wallflowers, his kid, goes to kindergarten there. And apparently Bob shows up with his guitar and all the kids go running from the class.
Oh, no.
Well, how could they not? Look, a lot of adults go running when Bob Dylan starts to sing. Well, we got to find out what this is like from the perspective of the musical legend. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Dylan back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the Word Famous Show. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Dean. Hey, Dylan. Well, how long to watch?
Right. Well, good morning to you as well, Mr. Dylan. Listen, this story in the New York newspaper, is this accurate? You've been hanging out at that kindergarten in Calabasas?
Uncle Bob.
What? I don't know. So I think you're saying that the kids are happy to see you and they call you Uncle Bob?
Kids, really. Uncle Bob, kid. Sing a long time happy hour.
That's your satellite show, Bob. Now, did they ask you, was it like bring a grandpa to kindergarten day or what?
Nope, I just broke in.
Just came in?
Yeah.
With your guitar?
Just kind of kicked in the door. Bob Dylan's here, trying to sing.
So, in other words, you're forcing a Bob Dylan concert on five-year-olds.
Yeah, they love it. Oh, can't get up. Answer my friend, it's love in the game.
Bob, you know that the kids are going home telling their parents about the scary man that was in class today. You know that, right?
Nuh-uh.
Yes, they are.
No, my little grandson loves if I'm doing singing.
Well, maybe your grandson does, but no one else in the class knows who you are.
I'm being singing right now. Come here. Come here. I'll sing for you. Sing.
You're in their class
right now. Sing, love, I can love by singing.
Bob, I know that you're a musical legend and all, but do you think those kids can understand what you're saying?
Yeah, everyone knew that song.
Yeah, I know, but
they don't know this song.
You're not singing any of the words, Bob. Bob, do you not know the words? Is that what's going on?
You're not singing any words.
Singing the words, right? Look, you're a weird guitar guy. This is what we're telling you. Listen to us, Bob. We understand that you love your grandson and he loves you, but the rest of the kids call you weird guitar guy, and you probably shouldn't force a concert on them, is what we're saying.
You beg to differ?
All right, I heard that.
Shut up!
You're scaring me.
Maybe I am scaring
him. Our girlfriend Allison Hannigan joins us just after the news at 8. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
You'd be hard-pressed, I think, to find a woman as talented, as funny, and as sexy and attractive as Allison Hannigan on television right now, I think.
You know what? I think she is gorgeous. I think she is an incredibly, incredibly attractive person. Mm-hmm. The only thing I am worried about is getting a boner.
Yeah, me too. You rarely find hot and funny in the same package.
Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her.
Lady.
I would wreck that chick.
She's in the other room right now, and she's just the best.
Really, just her and Rosie O'Donnell. Those are the only two that come to mind.
Why do you have to taint this conversation?
I mean, when you're talking really, really hot and really, really sexy and funny.
Dear God. Let's talk about the Hollywood box office weekend, shall we?
Shut up.
Stop it. Spider-Man 3 in its debut did reasonably well. Oh, well, no, wait a minute. It shattered all box office records. That's what I meant to say. $149 million in its first 3 days.
Now, it seems like they always have, like, categories. First 3 days of a non-holiday, non-repeating, I don't know, whatever, weekend. It's always somehow...
This is not.
Any 3 days ever.
Wow.
By anybody's standards. The previous record was held by Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest, which made $136 million in 3 days. This bested that by $12 million. Not even close.
Wow.
You know what we've learned from this experience, guys, of Spider-Man 3? Is it's time to just not have movie critics anymore. It's just time for that whole industry just to go away, just to close down and not make... Not write articles, not do television shows, just gone.
Look, I would say you have a certain point in regards to these type of films, but I think movie reviewers come in very handy when there's smaller films that don't have the publicity deluge behind it, like a Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I guess.
That you read an article. If you keep reading critics, sometimes they'll turn you on to a small movie that you never would have heard of if you hadn't read that article, and then you go out and you see it, so you can find little gems that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, when it comes to reviewing movies like this, they shouldn't even bother. It's kind of a waste of their time.
Critics, to me, have always kind of told me a little bit more about their taste than anything else. Like, the kind of movies they like. So, whatever.
Kevin, the people who like the kind of movies you like can't write.
That's true.
Well, you're never going to find a critic with your taste.
Yeah, they can, but it's in crayon.
Maybe that's the problem. I found a critic in Highlights Magazine. They're good.
Totally off topic. I finally got around to seeing this weekend Children of Men.
Is that good?
It's a brilliant, brilliant film. And that was one of those films, if I hadn't read so much critical buzz about it, I wouldn't have even piqued my interest so much. Because it's a smaller film made by a foreign director, and you wouldn't necessarily run out and see that. But I'd heard so many good things when I read the reviews that I went and picked it up on DVD.
I can ask how you saw that movie instead of Spider-Man. How did you not go to Spider-Man?
I watched it on the plane on my laptop, basically. Which I recommend highly. That's the only way to see a movie. By the way.
Best way.
Yeah. is in a cramped plane on your lap.
Smaller the laptop, the better.
Absolutely, yeah. If you get it on an iPod, it's even better.
That's even better.
I recommend it highly, yeah. Disturbia was number two at the box office. By the way, Allison Hannigan should have played Mary Jane in the Spider-Man movies. Dawned on me. There's a hot redhead.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gotta put a contract on that Kirsten Dunst.
That's why these movies aren't more successful.
Because she's not in them.
Right.
Disturbia was number two at the box office, made about $6 million. Little disparity there between number one and number two. Fracture was number three. The Invisible. Oh, who cares what the other nine were? Seriously, doesn't matter.
$149 million.
They didn't total, the other nine together didn't total up to half of Spider-Man's take for the weekend. It's madness. Speaking of Spider-Man, here's a cool little story sent in by listener Molly. My friends and I were at the Friday night 9 p.m. show of Spider-Man 3 at the Arclight Dome movie theater. And you know how the Arclight has ushers that come out to welcome everyone and ask them to turn off their cell phones and Blackberries, etc. Well, on Friday night while we were there, the usher turned out to be Tobey Maguire, who stepped out and gave the spiel to the crowd. Apparently, he had note cards written for the spiel and everything. Pretty cool. That's from Molly. So that might have been pretty cool. If you're going to see Spider-Man and Peter Parker comes out and tells you to shut up.
Was it the evil one with the black eyeliner and the hair over his eyes?
Kevin.
Was it that one?
Oh, Kevin.
That guy's dangerous. That guy needs milk.
They put his eyes, that barely reached his eyes. His hair barely reaches his eyes, and they pull it over his eyes, and he's like, okay, that makes him bad.
You know, don't
he's got eyeliner.
Ooh. Don't make me comb my hair forward more than kick your ass. You don't see Bad Ralph.
You haven't seen it. Wait till you see
Venom
it.
Ralph, my friends.
You'll go, that's the evil one? Really?
I'm telling you, they should have given him a black goatee.
Yes, they should have.
Like evil Michael Knight and yes, Knight Rider.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the best. Lindsay Lohan's got photos of her doing blow up on the internet.
Nice.
Yeah. News of the World, a tabloid out of the UK, has a story and photos of her at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, Teddy's nightclub, in the bathroom, pulling a small bag of white powder from her jeans, sticking her finger in it, shoving her finger up her friend's nose, and then her own.
That's what you want when you're doing blow, is have somebody else shove their finger up your nose.
Well, if it's Lindsay Lohan, I'm not minding so much.
Good time.
Especially the more I read about her in this story where the friend, the unnamed friend, by the way, is not so much a friend.
No.
Talks about her extensive drug use, just 20 days out of rehab, how she loves to parade around naked and get all the attention directed her way, especially when she's at home. She strips down to her thong, bends over, and snorts coke off a coffee table. There you go. Yeah. That's Lindsay Lohan.
Did they say anything about...
Fire crunch.
They did not, no.
It's disgusting. Go back to your cheap motel. You fire crotch. A stinky beaver.
They did mention the thong was made out of asbestos, though. If that
Meanwhile... Make our next guest feel welcome, by the way.
Meanwhile, what's Lindsay Lohan's dad up to?
Okay.
Well, the New York Post has just released a story that Michael Lohan, who was in prison for aggravated assault, found God while inside and has become a minister.
Yes!
Michael Lohan is now an ordained minister in Long Island. Found God through a correspondence course, which really is the best way to find God, I think.
Correspondence.
Best way to see a movie, on your lap in an airplane. Best way to find God, correspondence course. Now, he says, he hopes to rescue, help, and show young people the way. Sounds like he could start, I don't know, with his own daughter.
Yeah.
Maybe show her the way. The way out of the stall in the ladies' room at Teddy's nightclub. Apparently, Stephen Baldwin, who's also a holy roller, is co-signing his loan to God, and will be there to help him preach the word.
Fantastic.
Boy, is that family effed up. They make the Mayweathers look like the Partridge family over there in the boxing world. Today's celebrity birthday is Eagle Eye Cherry. Yeah. He nope. or she celebrates his or her birthday today. He or she is 35 years old today.
I'm thinking Eagle Eye Cherry maybe should be dropped from the list, though.
Eagle Eye Cherry?
Yeah.
Did he do that Buffalo Girl song?
That was
Nena Cherry. It's his sister.
Oh. How can you
this
tell?
This is the Save Tonight guy.
Oh, okay.
Seriously. Save Tonight guy.
Save Tonight. You guys aren't listening to enough Jack FM. Come on.
Singing. I'm sorry. I don't quite recognize the song. Could you sing a little bit more for me?
No, I cannot.
Let me just hear a little more Save Tonight. Maybe I'll recognize
Save Tonight.
Now I recognize it.
Okay.
Tracy Lords, former adult film actress, current B-lister. She was in Blade. She was in Crybaby, the John Waters movie. She's done a lot of feature film work, and she's reasonably talented for a girl who used to do what she did for a living.
She was in Ass Up, Facing the Pillow.
I believe that was one of her tour de forces. She is 38 years old today. Oh, enough of my yapping. Let's get to Allison Hannigan, huh?
Yes.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is the happiest little TV theme song ever.
You ever wondered what happened to the Beach Boys? They're now doing jingles for sitcoms.
That's the theme from How I Met Your Mother, ladies and gentlemen, on CBS Monday nights at 8:30. Allison Hannigan from that show in the studio of the world-famous Karen. Hey, real quick before we talk to Allison, though, Trevor Metcalf from Irvine, congratulations. You heard Korn, Freak on a Leash. You were caller 20. You've won your tickets for the K-Rock Greeny Rose Fiesta 2007. In a minute, we'll look up and find out what the next song is to listen for. Hey, Allison. That's not it. I don't think that's... I don't think that's the one.
Those are our creators. They,
oh, seriously?
Yeah.
That's the shortest song ever.
Well, it's just a lot of bop-a-bop-a.
It's just cute and perky. That's just like Allison Hennigan.
Yeah.
Oh, Allison,
yeah.
Get closer to the microphone, first of all, would you, Allison?
Hello.
There you go.
Hello.
Much better.
Much better.
Thank you.
Talking to that green dot.
The green dot.
There you go.
Hi, green dot.
There we go.
Okay.
Now, not talk to the green dot, just talk to you.
I'm really happy to be here, green dot.
Can you be Mary Jane in the next Spider-Man?
Sure.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
You know, actually, this could be a spoiler, but Spider-Man is on our show tonight.
What?
He might get edited out. I don't know, but just watch him play.
Wow.
That's the way it's going to be.
Tune in.
So you're saying...
So Dances with the Star Schmars.
Whatever.
So you're saying Spider-Man, $149 million on your show tonight might edit him out.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, because it might be long.
Right. Might be long.
Yeah. Nice. But, I mean, check it out. You never know.
He probably will be.
He's probably in the end. Right. And if not this week, then next week. Definitely next week.
I see. More Spidey.
Now, did you see Spider-Man this weekend?
No, I didn't.
Were you interested at all?
I am. I'm more interested to see it sort of in the week when it's not going to be the throngs.
Yes.
Several of us.
There with you.
Yeah.
Your sister. Now, Allison, we need your opinion, not only as a friend, but as a woman and as a movie star. We need to hear what you have to say about this, because I think the room here, and by the room, I mean specifically Kevin, Ralph, and Psycho Mike, are unduly harsh on poor Kirsten Dunst and her looks and her acting ability. I think they're really dumping on her, I think, unfairly. What's your opinion of her?
I thought she was just gorgeous in Interview with a Vampire.
Yes, when she was nine?
Adorable.
She was very adorable, right.
I thought she looked great in Marie Antoinette, by the way, and I know I'm the only one of us that saw that, but she looked fantastic in that movie.
I liked her in...
How do you like her in Spider-Man, I think, is the question on the table.
The first two, she was great.
But here's my problem. She always plays the bombshell role. Like, she's on Broadway or whatever, she's singing a song, and the review comes out, and the review says, really easy on the eyes, but her voice doesn't carry. And I was in the theater going, no, she's not easy on the eyes. Why do they do that?
I don't know. I mean,
she's ugly.
She's
not ugly.
I don't think she's ugly.
Allison's not going to say that.
I think that you're seeing too many sort of tabloid pictures of her where she's sort of not at her best.
98% of the pictures of her are not her best.
She's got one good side, and it's the back of her head.
Well, plus she's got the fungus on her legs, too.
Oh, come on. Did you see that picture? None of you guys would kick her out of bed.
Oh, in a heartbeat I would.
No.
I wouldn't let her into bed. She'd never get to the kicking out stage.
Ralph wouldn't let her clean his room. Much less get into the bed.
I know other guys who feel the same, but, you know. I don't know.
You're just too nice.
Maybe she's just a victim of being such a big star that people are just, they expect too much from her.
She's inexplicably a star. That's the problem.
She's also very young. She's going through the phase where she's like, stop treating me as this like beauty queen.
No, she's not. Every role she takes,
she's treating her like a beauty queen.
All the people that hire her.
I guess.
I mean, she's always
she's always the female ingenue, sexy lead.
Right.
All right, we'll be right back with Allison Hannigan.
Okay, now we're up here. Now,
Kirsten Dunst really just...
Allison, stop it. Stop it, Allison.
Right?
You know,
I mean, you can't say this on the air, but...
No. I don't know. I mean, I understand. I she has been prettier.
That was perfect.
I admire that. That was very
good.
That
is a good one. I like it.
I'm going to use that.
You're good.
I don't think they can get you for that.
That's the most,
she has
the
her moments.
Kindest way to say that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Allison Hannigan's career. Let's talk about Allison Hannigan's career, shall we?
That's all you need to know right there. Now, let me ask you this, Ms. Hannigan.
Hang on. This is my favorite part.
Okay. I was saying to Allison in the other room that her show, How I Met Your Mother, really has come into its own this season.
Yes. That's what I think.
You don't watch the show.
I think it's... I felt guilty at first, and I started watching it.
I'm going to tell you guys, I think it's been funnier.
Oh, shut up.
Wait, I tried to learn from you.
No.
Why are you mean to her?
Okay, Bean just doesn't watch anything I'm ever in.
Yeah, it's been really good this season.
But
really
it is. This year was
Because initially when it first came on, it said, it's about a guy, you know, it's all in flashback how this guy is telling his kid how he met his mother. And I thought, that's a little precious as a concept. And but this season, it's sort of like the episodes are more standalone. I think the characters are more developed, and it's just funnier overall. I really have enjoyed it.
Phenomenal writers as well. I mean, the story alone is just so good, and they're just, it's so much fun to do, and we're all having a blast, and it's really, I would enjoy watching this even if I weren't on it.
Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah.
To be able to step really naturally
I wish we could say that about our own show.
I know, we can't.
And I think it's better that you're broken up with the Freaks and Geeks boy on the show because, you know.
We got back together.
I know, but the section where you did, I think was better for your character and better for those of us at home who like to have impure thoughts about you. Because then we thought, oh, man, she's single. I have sort of a shot now in that fantasy world.
Well, in tonight's episode, we actually get married.
I heard this is the big marriage episode. Yeah.
Yes. Of course, everything that goes wrong.
And Spider-Man comes to the wedding?
Well, I don't want to give it away.
He's invited.
I'm just saying, you know, it's a big RSVP wedding, and a lot of people that we didn't know were coming come, and you know, Havoc is. I'm saying
that at the end is what
wedding
you're saying.
And veils don't go together very well.
It must be crazy.
It's just crazy.
But I hear that somebody who watches the show at 8:30 tonight on CBS, I hear somebody in the viewing audience.
Eight o'clock.
I'm sorry, it says 8:30.
It's a long.
If somebody watches it 8:30, they certainly will not see Spider-Man.
It's an hour-long episode, right? It's a double episode.
It's two parts.
We have no idea.
Two parts. Okay, I'm talking to the
director. It's a pay-per-view. It's a pay-per-view event. You can only get it if you.
Maybe we should take a break.
I thought it was a double episode.
I'm just going to talk to the dot. It was going so much better.
Maybe we should take a break.
Green Dot. It's on at 8 o'clock on CBS. It's a two-parter. So tonight and then next week. And so Spider-Man's not on tonight. He'll definitely be on next week.
Now I understand.
So it's an hour at 8.
But, no!
Sure.
Damn it.
Watch an hour.
Why not?
Allison, you got a whistling solo here. Go.
Wow. Like I do.
Worse at whistling than we are.
I love that.
That is Peter Bjorn and John whistling the hits are on the world famous K-Rock, one of the bands that's playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2007 with Linkin Park, Killers, Korn, Bad Religion. Allison, you coming this year? You're going to be able to make it May 19th?
Sure.
Come to
Weenie
Roast.
She lied.
Yeah.
You can win your tickets, be caller 20 when the Silver Sun Pickups sing Lazy Eye anytime on K-Rock. Listen for Lazy Eye by the Silver Sun Pickups. That's Allison Hannigan in the studio, How I Met Your Mother, with the first of a two-part season finale tonight on CBS Channel 2 at 8 o'clock.
With Spider-Man.
With Spider-Man, right, exactly. And someone watching will win $1 million, too. I understand that that's just been added,
right.
So you should definitely take it for
right
that.
Suitcase, yes.
Can I tell you a little story about what happened off the air just a second ago? Because this is funny.
Don't get Allison in trouble if she told us something in comments.
No, I think this is about you, Bean.
So we love Allison.
Yes.
And we've had Allison in and on the show many, many times. We love her.
For years, right? Yes.
You've been here for all the American Pie movies.
And Buffy, which was over 10 years ago.
Even date movie we had, John.
So Bean says...
And you were fat then, and we still have you.
Oh,
no, I'm saying in date movie, she was really fat. That's all I'm saying.
She was a fat suit she wore in the movie.
So Bean's listening to the whistling, and he says to Allison, hey, you know, my wife is really a huge fan of your show. She loves your show. As a matter of fact, I watched one episode with her the time that chick got the vibrator.
As a gift, yeah.
Yes.
And Allison takes a beat, and then she says, you know that chick was me, right, Bean? And he says, oh, yeah, I do. That. He had no idea. How can he not?
I don't know.
I don't follow all the characters and who's doing what.
Or the characters that come meet you in person.
Allison. Have we had any actress on our show more than Allison Hannigan?
Wait,
ever?
You're the gay guy who played Doogie, right? That's you.
Bean.
Am I just confused?
I don't think you're supposed to drink the tap water up there.
Yeah.
Hey, I know what I wanted to ask you, Allison. Two things. One is, has your show been renewed for next year yet?
No, not that we know of. But CBS hasn't renewed any of the
Because we're getting into the time where they make those announcements, right?
Yes. It should
be
in the next couple weeks.
Well.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good. I would be more surprised if we didn't get picked up than if we did get picked up.
Okay, that's good news. We got our fingers crossed.
Cautiously optimistic.
Excellent. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, and I thought about you the other day when Ralph was doing the story about Jennifer Esposito and who was it?
Bradley Cooper.
Yes. Yeah. Who got divorced after 4 months. Now, you've been married coming up on 4 years here pretty soon.
Yes, and we've been together over 7.
Yeah, a long time. What about these young people who act? What about these people who can't seem to stay married for a year? What do you make of that?
The kids today.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know how it is.
That shocked me as well, because, well, I didn't even know they had gotten married, so.
I never knew they were dating.
I saw them at Barney's once, so I knew they were dating.
Okay.
But here's my favorite thing. They broke up after 4 months, and according to the report, they had been split up for a while.
His rep said.
Maybe they just really liked the wedding part. And it's sort of like the happily ever after, and then they realize, oh, wait.
Do you think there's a difference between, like, when you're doing a TV series, you at least get to stay in the same place?
Yes.
And Jennifer Esposito mostly does movies, so she's probably traveling a lot. Do you think that takes a toll?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, if you don't make your marriage your priority, then you'll just grow apart, you know? I cannot stand if I'm shooting in one place and my husband's working in another. It's just, it's too hard on us.
What do you guys do? You have some sort of deal?
Well, we have a 3-week rule, but even that sort of is too long for us.
Is it difficult for you to be sexually attracted to all of us in this room?
And have him not be here.
Have your husband not
be here. Too much of a threat to your relationship?
You know, I'll try to keep it under control.
You're doing a poor job. It's obvious to all of us.
Well, we were having a conversation, Allison, when this story broke last week. We were having a conversation about, I wonder if it's different for celebrities. And as Kevin has always famously said, a lot of people are as faithful as their options. And they know that if they're going to break up with this person, there's a line of other people out the door that they can be with. So what's the intense pressure to keep it together? And also, they're just used to not being held accountable. It's not like there's a great deal of shame anymore if you're a celebrity and your marriage breaks up. People just look at it and go, well, that's how they do it out in Hollywood. Oh. Those things don't help keep the marriage together, I think.
I think people's priorities sort of need to be reassessed, you know? I mean, I love working and I love my job and everything, but my marriage is my, you know, priority over that.
It's one of those kinds of businesses where you feel if you don't grab the opportunities when they're there, they're going to disappear.
Absolutely.
Well, it shouldn't be in the genital department, Lisa. You should grab opportunities and careers and leave the genitals alone.
Those opportunities might take you away from your spouse for long periods of time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you don't see your partner for 3 months, I mean, it's just...
You have to bang somebody on the set. You have to.
No, but it would get easier to not be with them than to be with
them. You're just not going
to
be as connected.
You know, because you just miss those wonderful moments of the day. And I mean, my husband and I love to be together. We can do nothing and just have the best time.
But you're an actress.
Yeah, you're pretending to like him.
You don't even mean it.
He's my best friend.
You're an actress who lives in Hollywood for the most part. How's that work?
I don't feel that way.
No. But we were talking off of the air, too. Allison, I was asking her, you know, in the early days with American Pie and Buffy and stuff, if she went through a sort of a party phase, like a lot of these actresses seem to be going through, like Lindsay Lohan and the like. And she said, no, she never did. She cared more about the work than she did about getting loaded.
Absolutely.
Like,
well, I'm a huge nerd, so that helps. You know, I was a lightweight, and I would never drink and drive. I'm like such a square, but I'm okay with that, you know?
Well, you're also like 60 pounds, so, you know, one beer.
But I mean, I'm half Irish. I should be able to, you know,
drink, put it away.
But I can't, and I never liked beer, and, you know.
Oh, you're an embarrassment to the Irish.
Absolutely.
They should take your citizenship away.
Get out. They should revoke my pale skin.
Do you feel like you want to take Lindsay Lohan and just shake her till she's quiet, though, when you see the way she behaves? Because she does give actresses a bad name the way she behaves.
I just want to adopt her and say, look, you know, crafting is fun.
I'm sorry. Scrapbooking.
Let's scrapbook.
And that would work?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
You can't scrapbook in a thong over a glass table. I don't think the same kind of rush for some people.
How do you scrapbook?
That's true. Maybe you do.
That's what we do.
And that's I want to be around when
you get the glue stick all over your nipples, and that gets to be in trouble.
Oh. Yeah, but the glitter is fun.
Well, that's true, too.
Make your own
when
pasties.
Allison breaks out, when Allison goes through that phase, I hope we're all around to see it. Yeah. I'm going to look forward to that.
I want celebrity sex tape. I want dibs.
This one time I saw your show and a chick got a vibrator.
That chick was me.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother, 2-part season finale, tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS.
She's marrying Freaks and Geeks, dude.
Yeah.
And a weirdo.
Who goes ballistic and shaves his head. Or shaves a strip of his head, a la Britney.
Mm.
Yes.
Or perfect for the wedding photos.
Or does he? We're not to give anything away on the show. But
maybe Spider-Man comes to the rescue.
That's right.
We don't know. You got to watch.
Allison, we love having you here. You know that.
I love
despite what Bean says.
Yes.
How dare you? I love Allison.
Despite how inattentive Bean is to your career.
You barely know who she is. Yeah.
We apologize.
She's the Indian chick, right?
Yes.
Just look me up on the internet.
I've done that. Believe me. I've done that.
Stop it.
How I Met Your Mother, two-part season finale tonight, CBS 8 o'clock.
Thank you,
Allison.
Guys.
Thank you. Speaking of which, I came in this morning under the false impression that everyone was happy over the weekend, that there was no trouble buying tickets, and no one got shut out. But I just got this. Dear Kevin, I mean, this is effing BS. I'm 100% convinced the ticket sales for Weenie Roast are bogus. There's no way in hell it can be a sellout in less than 20 minutes.
Really? Well,
of course it is.
If you don't mind, I would like to just take a second to just talk to the one person who is disgruntled about that. Ticketmaster can put up national tours at one time. They have...
that sell out very, very quickly.
Yeah, they can sell hundreds of thousands of tickets in a minute. I think that's what Kevin's
point is. It is frustrating. I do understand if you're in line or, you know, you think you're fifth or sixth or whatever, and then it sells out. I do understand it, but there are so many locations that they do go really quickly, and it is way possible, not only less than 20 minutes, but less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. And speaking of that, I have a Weenie Roast related email too. You're listening for Lazy Eye by Silver Sun Pickups, which reminds me of this email about Doto. Hey, Kevin and Bean, Doto with his lazy eye is my lab partner in class at school. I am so starstruck. Oh my God, you've got to hear the questions that he blesses me with every single day. Things like, if you were a physiologist and I was your patient, I think he means psychiatrist, but and I was your patient and I took an IQ test, would you give me a lower score just because you thought I was annoying and talked too much? What? This is from Ed. We may have to talk to Ed and find out what it's like going to school every day and having Doto be your lab partner. Isn't that like the last thing you would want?
I think we definitely need to talk
to
Ed.
Yes.
Yeah, you want the A student to carry your ass. That's what you want.
Exactly.
Hey, fellas, how come there aren't any good photos of the Kevin and Bean team? And by team, I really mean Lisa May. Loyal listener Gustavo. There are pictures of you making out, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
Cinco de Mayo's?
I actually directed him to the sites
you
page.
You did?
Because he apparently didn't realize there was a sites page under Kevin and Bean with pictures of us.
Interesting.
Okay. Right. So there you go.
Dear Kevin and Bean, and hello, Lisa May. I'm writing to you guys in hopes that you can help me out. I'd like to have a threesome with my man of 6 months. I am 5'4", about 150 pounds. 38 double D, short, curly, dark brown hair. I wear glasses, not skinny, but not fat. I'd like to find a girl that is willing to join us. I have searched for many, but it seems like all the females are all talk or they don't follow through with it. I would like to see about it happening this Friday night. Help a girl out. I want to surprise him with this. So please, can you help me help my man? We may have to carve out some time on tomorrow's show for
Fantastic.
Monica because it sounds like she's coming to the right place for this kind of activity, don't you think?
It's a service we provide.
And we got to get on it because she wants it by Friday.
By Friday, yeah.
Dear Kevin and me, could you please put up that Lick Lisa jingle? My friend and I would love to have it as a ringtone. So every time somebody calls them, they want to hear...
Lick, Lick Lisa, Lick, Lick Lisa, but keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, that will go over big.
Oh, yeah, especially in a place of work.
Sure.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins. Subject line, don't pump gas on May 15th.
Oh, no.
Seriously.
No, don't. See, now don't laugh, guys, because on May 15th, 2007, all internet users are to not go to a gas station in protest of high gas prices. Gas, Kevin, is now over $3 a gallon in most places.
What?
There are 73 million American members currently on the internet network. Why, this is well written, by the way. American members currently on the internet network.
Sure.
And the average car takes $30 to $50 to fill up. Well, if all users did not go to the pump on the 15th, it would take almost $3 billion out of oil companies' pockets for just one day. So please do not go to a gas station on May 15th. Let's try to put a dent in the Middle Eastern oil industry for at least one day. If you agree, and I can't see why you wouldn't, please resend this to all of your contact list with a subject line, don't pump gas on May 15th. Listen, you a-hole. It doesn't work. It didn't work last year. It didn't work the year before that, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. You're still using the same amount of gas. It doesn't matter whether you buy it on a Sunday or on a Tuesday.
Here's
Got it?
Here's what's funny. Bean loves that. And all of you that get that should forward it to Bean, because he's very, very, actually, very happy.
What I'm suggesting is you're a retard if you believe that. If you read that and believe it, you're a retard, and you're an a-hole if you forward it on. That's my suggestion to you. So don't do that.
You're the anger in his voice.
I'm saying stop it.
Stupid.
He hates this one more than all
else. Stupid, and stop it, and don't do it, is what I'm saying.
But if we don't buy gas on the 15th, we'll send a message.
No, it will not send a message. It'll send a message that you suck. That's the message it'll send.
Ralph is here now with a look at the showbiz beat.
Heil der Spindelmensch.
And to you as well.
It's German for all hail Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Huge weekend for the web slinger. This, which everyone is pretty much uniformly saying is the lesser of quality of all the three films. By far the biggest success so far. Over the weekend, it made $149 million in its first 3 days at the box office.
You think that's because of the success of 1 and 2? That everybody was so ready for it?
So much expectation, so much anticipation that people ran out to the theaters to see it. And I don't think it's going to drop off much, quite frankly. I think in this kind of film, people just want a big action adventure and don't care so much about the finer points of the plot or the screenplay.
It looks amazing, I'll tell you that. It's eye candy.
I've heard questionable things about it, and I'm still hell-bent on going. I'm going to wait till the crowds die down, go to a matinee sometime this week. But $149 million here in America. Worldwide, it made $375 million.
Wow.
So it's already made a profit of $117 million, by the way.
And by the way, that's with Kirsten Dunst. Can you imagine without?
It would have been...
Hey, how much pressure does this put on the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie in 2 weeks to really, like, get the publicity machine up and running?
The bar is raised, and I think it's going to be a real dogfight. I bet you the third Pirates is going to be up around there, around $140 million. Yeah, I really do.
Those are good movies, too.
People are expecting a lot from that as well, so... let's see, that was number one at the box office. Number two is Disturbia, which had been number one for the 3 weeks previous. It's a little movie that could. It cost about $20 million to make. Made about $60 million so far. So good news for them.
Not bad.
Fracture was number three. The Invisible was fourth. Next was fifth. Lucky You, the new Drew Barrymore movie, was six.
Oh, that's tight.
Meet the Robinsons was seven. Blades of Glory, Hot Fuzz, and then Are We Done Yet? Rounding off the top ten at the box office. Can you imagine if Drew Barrymore made a movie about In-N-Out? If she's like working at an In-N-Out and she falls in love with the guy who goes through the drive-thru, would that be the perfect movie for Dwan or what?
His head would explode.
Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Too much. Too much for the poor little guy.
In-N-Out. In-N-Out. That's what I want as my ringtone. How am I doing, Kevin? Am I stalling long enough for you?
Well,
any luck?
No, it would take longer.
See, if we had a guy named Psycho Mike who worked here on the show, he could be doing that for you while we were doing our parts.
Yeah, that wasn't his fault. I was
talk about a momentum killer right there.
Really, he had to go out and do some bench pressing or something. He had prior business he had to attend.
He does have to weightlift all morning.
Speaking of Spider-Man, great email from one of our listeners, Molly, who tells a story about going to see Spider-Man at the 9 o'clock showing on Friday night at the Arclight Cinerama Dome. She said, you know how the Arclight has ushers that come out to welcome everyone and ask them to turn off their cell phones and Blackberries and ask them to be quiet during the film? Well, on Friday, Tobey Maguire stepped out and gave the spiel to the crowd.
Sweet!
Apparently had written down the spiel on little note cards and everything. It was pretty cool to see Spider-Man himself. So,
you imagine that.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Opening day, the fans, they must be hardcore fans to go, you know, at that time of night.
Especially the Cinerama Dome, to see it in the big screen up there.
Their heads must have exploded.
And Tobey Maguire, as much as he seems like a very genial type of fella, I have no problems with him. He doesn't seem like a big sort of... prankster, the kind of guy who shows up just a random theater on the opening day of his movie.
I thought
he'd be
true.
Kind of out in isolation someplace. Strikes me as a guy who likes to be alone.
He was at the fight too, wasn't he? At the De La Hoya fight.
I saw him.
Was
he there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had a big weekend.
Yes, he did.
And boy, that was star-studded, that De La Hoya fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, no kidding.
Jack Nicholson was there, Leonardo DiCaprio, Will Ferrell.
Just did
everybody,
he?
You ready to be? John McCain?
Yes, really? John McCain.
He was there.
Well, he's going after Mexican and black voters, so he had to be there.
Yeah. By the way, Mayweather came out in a sombrero wearing the colors of the Mexican flag as the second generation Mexican assassin like his trainer Roger Mayweather used to do.
And
his uncle.
And his corner all wore t-shirts that said, Mexico loves Mayweather and Mayweather loves Mexico.
Yeah. Little psych.
Just cheesing people off.
Yeah.
Hey, this is DeJuan from Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, too late. Way past.
Too late.
No.
Way past too late.
No, we're past that.
I
like the percussion, though.
Ralph, I know you don't care for her, but former Playmate of the Year Jenny McCarthy was at the Kentucky Derby Saturday afternoon and then flew to Las Vegas and was also at the fight Saturday night. She had a big night.
Wow. Yeah, I saw her stringy-haired boyfriend, Jim Carrey, was there. Looking like a goof.
I found it funny that they mentioned Jim Carrey, but they didn't mention her.
Well,
I just moved on to the other
afraid
clips.
She might say something if they arrest her. Lindsay Lohan doing blow in the bathroom at Teddy's, which is located at the Roosevelt Hotel there on Hollywood Boulevard.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
Well, there is photographic evidence.
Allegedly.
There's photographic evidence.
Yeah, but we're saying. What is it? It's
a bag
flour.
Of white powder.
Might be flour.
That she sticks her finger in and snorts up her nose.
Just saying.
What are you, could be cane sugar.
Gil Grissom, you have to run down the lab and see what Mark Helgenberger comes up with?
I'm just saying.
It could be cane sugar, yes. That's what it could be.
So much better up your nose.
Yes. I was just going to gain any weight, so she just snorts it. This came to light in News of the World, the British tabloid, that has an entire story reportedly from one of Lindsay's friends who snapped some photos of her with her cell phone of Lindsay ingesting some sort of white powdery substance. Which Kevin and Bean won't allow me to say is cocaine.
I'm saying.
Well, we don't believe it is.
Allegedly.
Could be heroin.
Also talks. That's true, Lisa. All right, point, Lisa. No, it's probably heroin.
We don't know.
Might not be cocaine. See, that's all we're saying.
The friend says it was coke, though, and also says Lindsay often brags about her sexual conquests, despite the fact that she also does cocaine. Then this night in particular, she was doing it. It was about 20 days after she had just got out of rehab.
Mm.
She told me, according to the friend in this story, that she'd slept with James Blunt, Jude Law, Callum Best, Joaquin Phoenix, Benicio Del Toro, Jared Leto, and James Franco.
Good times.
She loves Brits and told me she has slept with singer James Blunt a few times over the past month. She also said she flew to New York about 2 months ago just to have sex with Jude Law.
James Blunt.
He's the one with Petra Nemcova, right, isn't he?
Yeah. But he's hideous.
He is beautiful.
Those bug eyes
he's
and
beautiful.
Fake beard. And
true.
What the hell is that? That's not sexy.
And lastly, I told you last week that the General Lee, the original General Lee from the TV series Dukes of Hazzard, was being put up for auction by one of its stars, John Schneider, who, of course, you also probably know as Pa Kent over there on Smallville. At the time I told you the story, the 1969 orange Dodge Charger was going for $2.1 million. That was the biggest bid up to that point.
And well, that's crazy money, by the way.
Not when you see what the winning bidder paid. $10 million is what the winning bidder paid.
Wow.
Makes it the second most expensive car ever auctioned off.
Wow.
$10 million for the General A.
Seems a little high.
And John Schneider said, see, you better be careful when you clear out your garage. You never know what's in there. It might be worth something.
My God.
Like the freaking General A. Today's celebrity birthdays, Breckin Meyer. You know him as the guy from the Garfield movies.
And you love those.
Mm-hmm. He's 33 years old today. Eagle Eye Cherry.
Yeah.
Brother of Hawkeye Cherry.
No.
Son of Dumb Eye Cherry.
Nena and son of Don.
Nena. Nena and Eagle Eye. Those are your kids' names, by the way. He's 35 years old.
Hard to believe they're not Zappas with those names.
Phil Campbell, a guitarist for Motorhead.
Oh, yeah.
He's 46 years old today. And Tracy Lords, one-time adult actress, currently a mainstream actress, who was recently on Andy Richter. Can't Get Rich.
I think that was it.
That was it. Andy Private Eye. Andy Barker. Andy Barker Private Eye.
That's it.
That's what it was, yeah. He is, she is rather, 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 12 minutes after 9 o'clock, and we have tickets for you to go to the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2007.
The contestants are on the line. I'm excited to hear the new theme song for our new game we like to call Stringy Weenie.
It's time for Stringy Weenie. Do you think you have the talent to guess right? It's Kevin and Bean's Stringy Weenie.
Stringy.
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 A
Okay, so my understanding is we have string quartet versions of songs by some of the most popular bands that are going to be playing May 19th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater.
Yes.
We can use a band more than once. We'll play the string quartet version of it, and all you have to do is tell us the title of the song and the band that did the original version that you know and love from here on K-Rock. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so we'll talk to our contestants, and if you're right, you go into the drawing, and then we'll find out in about 5 minutes who wins the very hard-to-get sold-out tickets for K-Rock's Weenie Roast Deep Fiesta. We'll start with Al in Riverside. Hi, Al. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Venus.
It was shocking to me to find out that there are stringed versions of almost all of our bands. Violins and all that crap, they're playing our songs, and it doesn't make any sense. But we're going to play you one of the songs from one of the bands. Do we give them a hint of which band it is, or do we just tell them?
I think they give us title and artist. So I think this is going to be tough, but we only need one person to get it right to get the ticket. So, Al, listen up very carefully. I think we're only going to play it once, so listen carefully.
There you go. There you go, Al.
Is it Peter, Bjorn, and John, young folks?
not even by a little bit. It's not
even close. It's Queens of the Stone Age, Little Sister.
All right. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for
Thank you for playing. Let's try Robert in Mar Vista. Robert, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to listen up for Stringy Weenie?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Good morning, Lisa.
Hi there. Oh, I love vagina, too.
Okay, let me just point out Lisa's not here right now.
Okay, here's your song from the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2007, one of the bands. Tell us what it is. Okay. All right, what band, what song is that?
Well, it's Korn. Is it Freak on a Leash?
Yes, it is.
Yes, nicely it is. Done. Well done. Yeah. Beautiful.
Nicely done.
If Omar was doing his job, we'd be playing the original for you right now so you could compare the two. But thank you, Robert. Hang on. You are in the drawing to win those tickets for K-Rock's Weenie Roast Deep Fiesta. Again, a reminder, we can use some bands more than once. John from Lakewood, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
You ready for your Stringy Weenie?
If it's as easy as the last one, then yes.
It's not. You ready?
Go for
there
it.
There you go. Almost as easy, I would say. You know that one?
Oh, man.
Easy.
Title and artist, John. In other words, the band that originally did it and the name of the song they gave it.
Name of the song, band that originally did it.
That's what we're asking you.
You guys can't play it again, can you?
No.
All right.
Yeah, we were looking for One Step Closer by Linkin Park this time, dude. Sorry about that. Thought you might get that one. So far, just Robert is in the running here. Let's try Adrian and Irvine for Stringy Weenie. Hey, Adrian, how you been doing so far listening on hold, man?
I got one so far.
One out of three? All right.
Okay.
Here's your song. Watch out for that other car. Here you go.
There's a big K-Rock band, big K-Rock song. What do you think, Adrian?
Is it The Killers, Mr. Brightside?
Oh! Right band, wrong tune. We were looking for Jenny Was a Friend of Mine this time. So sorry.
Sorry, dude. All right.
No tickets for you.
Let's go to Dustin in Corona. Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning, guys.
All right. How many have you known?
Two out of three. Two out of whatever you do.
Two out of four. Okay. Here is your Stringy Weenie. Tell me you knew that one.
Oh, my goodness. What was the question?
A title and artist is the question, Dustin.
Okay. I will guess. You won't play it again, so I need to guess.
That's correct.
It's not the Tim Armstrong news song.
No, it's not.
That's because it is the Bravery.
I like you. I like you, Dustin. I wish you would have won, but no, that's...
I wish I would have won, too.
That's In the End by Linkin Park. But in the end, it doesn't really matter. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Angie in Ontario. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning, guys. Man, these guys are dumb.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have spoken up so fast until you hear your song.
Getting all of them.
So you were getting all of them.
She won't get it.
Now, I know. I shouldn't have opened my damn mouth.
It'll be funny if you don't know.
And if I can be honest, guys, she sounds kind of fat, too, which concerns me.
Oh, Bean, for God's
I'm just saying.
Hey.
What's wrong
with
you?
And she lives in Ontario, so I do not have high hopes for Angie. But let's see how you do. Listen up. Here's your stringy weenie.
The worst version ever.
All right, Big Talker, what do you got for us?
Is it the Young Folks by Korn?
No.
Oh, and the other guys were dumb, were they?
Well,
I see.
That was an extremely tough one, although the part that went da-na-na-na-na-na kind of made
is
me think
a giveaway.
Of it.
Yeah, it was Korn.
No,
Angie,
no,
it was Korn. It was Got the Life by Korn, and the other guys were dumb. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
All right. Thanks for calling. Well, guess what? Let's do that drawing.
All right. We have a winner, believe it or not.
All right. Let's see. Let me mix them all up. Oh, wait. Robert's the only one that got it. Robert, congratulations.
Thanks.
You got tickets to the Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2007.
Godhead.
Godhead. Thanks for playing.
So, guys, did I err in not buying the fight on Saturday night? Are you saying I made a mistake? I should have watched it.
I loved it. Apparently, I'm the only one.
Well, it wasn't a great fight. It wasn't a bad fight, but it wasn't a great fight.
Talking about Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy versus the Pretty Boy, the most profitable boxing match of all time in terms of pay-per-views and merchandise and everything else that was going on. And the fight that was supposed to save boxing, the world awaits is what they were calling it. And if you did not hear, it did go all 12 rounds, and it was a decision for Floyd Mayweather. But, Kevin, you disagree with that. You thought Oscar won the fight.
Well, I just think that Oscar kind of was going into the fight as an underdog, and unless he knocked him down or knocked him out,
he had to get Mayweather into trouble.
He wasn't going to win.
Right, and he never really did.
But when you're the aggressor, you have to open yourself up a lot. So I just thought he was the aggressor, and he did open himself up, and Floyd hit him a couple times.
He was the busier fighter, but he wasn't the more effective of the two fighters. I think
but
that was
if
the problem.
He hadn't needed to win the fight, he wouldn't have had to pursue. I don't know boxing much, but it just seemed like he had to pursue him all over the ring, and Floyd Mayweather Jr. was just like hiding from him. Every once in a while, he'd throw a punch, a counter
punch.
But
when he threw a punch, it usually landed squarely in his nose.
Well, there was
which
that.
Was good.
But only because he left himself open because he had to be the aggressor.
That's his style. He is a hit-and-run boxer. He hits
I don't
and
like
does
him.
Not get hit. That is his strategy.
Here are some of the celebrities.
To his advantage since he's unbeaten.
He won a split decision. Well, he didn't lose any technically, if that's what you're saying.
That's true.
One of the judges thought Oscar De La Hoya. The other two thought that it was Mayweather. So Mayweather ended up winning. The celebrities at the fight, Matthew McConaughey, John Madden, Al Michaels. By the way, John Madden, fatter and older than ever before. His head is twice mine.
Yeah.
Al Michaels, Tom Jones, Jack Nicholson, Jim Carrey, John Cusack, Wesley Snipes, Will Ferrell, Magic Johnson, Ron Howard, John McCain, Mary J. Blige, Usher, Leonardo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire, and Diddy. Those were just the ones that they caught
good,
on film.
Good turnout.
Yeah, not bad at all. But for my money, the highlight of the night was...
I was hoping the little Mexican would have won.
By the way, the crowd was about only 100% behind Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Mayweather's just a hateable dude. There's no way you really could be rooting for him.
But the highlight of the night for me was Larry Merchant because he is one breath away from death. I mean, he really is just about to die.
I wanted John Madden to come out of the crowd and do the announcing duties with Jim Lampley. That's how bad Larry Merchant is.
And he does.
How long's he been working boxing, Ralph?
412 years.
He's bad.
Literally, he's been around forever.
Really,
he's the equivalent of the New York Yankees stadium announcer, Bob Shepard, who's been doing the stadium announcement since 1951. And every time he starts a sentence, you wonder if you're going to live to the end of the sentence, much less him.
So he's that way, but also Floyd Mayweather Sr., the fighter that won, his dad makes Larry Merchant sound like Eminem. I mean, when he interviewed Sr., it was maybe the best interview that I've ever heard in my life.
Thank you. Floyd, you have mixed emotions tonight.
I really don't want to see either one of these guys even fight.
What?
I appreciate Oscar. Oscar's a good guy, fine guy, and I really like Oscar. I really do. But it really bothers me that at the end of the day, it's going to be the best man win.
So you're rooting for a draw.
That'd be good. But, you know, I'm going to tell you like this. You know, I'm being...
Hey, guys, there's a fight going on behind
you. I'm being neutral with the situation. I'm just laying back.
There was one of the opening fights was the entire round was going on behind them while they talked.
Yeah.
And that's what the sound effects are. You hear the bell. You hear like those sound effects of the graphics coming onto the screen and stuff.
And if you're watching it at home, you feel like you accidentally bought the paper you showing Cocoon or something.
You know, but the best man is going to win.
I already said that.
Who is that?
I'm saying that. And then again, you know.
Extremely poignant stuff.
Thank you. All right, so that was the interview.
I don't want to see Predator versus Alien being interviewed, really, during a fight.
Now, Floyd Mayweather Sr. is the dad. The uncle is Roger Mayweather. He's the trainer. And this is what he had to say in its entirety to his fighter during the fight.
Whoop his ass!
That was it. Whoop his ass.
That's his strategy.
Pretty much all he had to say. Yeah.
That is shockingly coherent.
Whoop his ass.
And the thing is, too, that Mayweather Jr. was saying the entire time, oh, it's going to be brutal, I'm going to destroy him, I'm going to whip his ass, and he didn't whip his ass either.
No. He said it was going to be a massacre, by the way. That was the word that he used. So then Larry Merchant decided that he needed his presence in the middle of the fight, too.
It's very likely that Cinco de Mayo is becoming Mayweather.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And everybody ignored it for about 5 seconds, and then they went on talking as if it was never said.
Yeah.
And then as a bookend, at the end of the fight, Larry Merchant again interviewed Floyd Sr. about who he thought won.
Thank you. And now to Floyd Sr., who was in the middle of all of this. How did you see the fight, Floyd?
Sr.
Well, I'm just going to be honest with you, man. If you want to call fight by scoring point system, I mean, by who throwing the more punches, you have to give it to Oscar. But if you're just going on... It's still about punches. It's about a guy throwing punches.
So what you're saying here is...
I thought the fight was a close fight, but it's just where the point system go, man. You know, if you look at the point system, man, who touching who the most?
Oscar or Floyd? Who won?
Hey, man, if you go by point system,
come on,
you have to give it to Oscar. If you go by point system,
thank you, Jim.
Thanks for what?
But they go by points, and they didn't give it to Oscar.
Let's say you were to judge a fight by points.
Which they did.
Then you have to
and
give it to Oscar.
Your son won.
They didn't.
Didn't have to give it to Oscar at all. Turns out they did.
Oh, my God.
If this isn't hell, friend, then where are we?
Exactly.
And then Larry Merchant at the end does an entire thing on the state of boxing, the future of boxing. I thought it would never end.
Did this fight save
boxing? Some would say this fight was supposed to save boxing. It is not going to save boxing.
Yeah.
It's not going to end boxing.
You do get the idea
that
he's going to die
boxing
sometime soon.
We'll go on and on.
Oh, just kill me now!
And on and on.
All right, Kevin DeBean's What It Do Nephew is next
and
at
on.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this.
And on.
It's time for Kevin DeBean's What It Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
And I love Mondays because we roll out the new prizes. A couple of lines open if you want to get in. You got a comment to put on the air, 1-800-520-1067. And today you'll get a $100 gift certificate to Kevin Jewelers, just in time for Mother's Day. Also, how about this? American Dad, Volume 2 on DVD. That's the big Fox hit from the creator of The Family Guy. That's in stores on May 15th. So you get both of those just for being on the air with us this morning.
All right, let's begin with Stephanie and Pico Rivera. Good morning, Stephanie.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, Stephanie?
Hi, I'm just calling just to ask, what can I do to get back at this guy that I dated? And it went bad because he was kind of psycho-ish on me, so I broke it up with him. Uh-huh. And he went crazy, and he put sugar on my gas tank.
Ooh, that's way bad.
Put sugar in your gas tank.
And cars don't like that, right, Stephanie?
Of course not. I'm paying it off now.
Do you have any proof that it was he who did it?
I know it's him because first he slashed my tires. I confronted him, and he denied it, but it went so bad that I even had to put a restraining order on him.
Yeah, I don't think you really want to engage this guy, do you?
Well, not really, but it's costing me a lot to get my car fixed. I'm so mad. How can I get back at him?
Well, if you got a restraining order and you have any sort of proof that it was him, you can go to the cops.
I know. I don't have proof. It's just his word against mine, and he's saying, like, well, if you wouldn't have broken off with me and things would have been good, like, nothing would have happened.
It's all your fault for breaking up?
How dare you?
He certainly proved that you made a mistake by breaking up with this gem.
I gotta
agree with Kevin. You should just steer as clear of him as possible. I mean, if it makes you feel any better, that's what's going to drive him crazy, is not being able to see you, because that's why he does all this stuff, because he wants contact with you. Don't give him any contact with you.
I know, but it's costing me a lot to fix my
car. All right.
We understand it's costing you a lot, but if you keep engaging him, he's going to keep doing things that are costing you more money.
Oh, that's true.
He may anyway. I mean, he's going to win the fight of who's more crazy, so don't get into it with him.
Eventually, exactly. He'll either get bored or he'll find some other victim.
Get a sugar daddy too. Get someone to pay, buy you stuff, and also pay off the damage to your car.
Exactly.
Beans, sugar in her gas tank's already the trouble. You don't want any more sugar.
Oh, sugar daddy.
Ralph.
Oh, sorry.
All right, let's go to Gonzalo in Cerritos. Good morning, Gonzalo.
Good morning, guys. What do you do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew?
Si se puede. What can we do for you?
Well, I was at the fight on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I got to meet both Roger Mayweather and Larry Merchant.
No kidding, Larry Merchant. Oh my God.
So, my girlfriend's related to Oscar, right? So we're at the fight, we're at the after party, and we run into Roger Mayweather.
This, for those of you who don't know, is the trainer of Floyd. Right. Go ahead.
Actually, his dad. We run into his dad.
Well, that's Floyd Senior.
Floyd Senior. We run into him.
Who used to train Oscar?
Yes.
Yes. So she starts talking to him, and she asks him, "Could we take a picture with you?" And so he gets in the middle, and she's on the left, and I'm on his right. He tells her, "I want you to get on my right and your boyfriend next to you." So he wanted to be next to my girlfriend.
Of course.
Sure. And the whole time he's like, "Why don't you get a little closer to me? Get closer."
You know? I'm just a bit closer to those men. That's normal. Touch your ass.
You did not lose your girlfriend to Floyd Sr., did you?
Yes.
But seriously.
So she, you know, she gets a little really close.
Right.
And he puts his arm around her, like, basically almost trying to kiss her.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so then, you know, that's that.
Right.
And then when we're checking out, I go see Larry Merchant.
Yes.
At the checkout stand. And I asked him if I could take a picture with him.
I tell you, the phone's ringing. I don't know what to do.
Nothing you can do.
Sorry.
Exciting story.
You told it well.
Oh, he brought it to life.
Yeah, because he ran into some of the hottest people in show business and made it come to life. That's what I like about that story, Gonzalo.
All right, let's go to Chris in Burbank. Good morning, Chris. What'd it do?
What to do, nephew?
What's going on?
And I was just calling and saying, that whole buying the gas, not buying on one day, what you need to do is we need to not buy gas from one company, let's say Mobil.
Shut up. Shut up.
Work
and kill yourself.
Damn you to hell.
It doesn't work.
Companies will battle each other for the
No, they won't.
No.
Don't take an economics course, then call us back.
Chris, they have ways to make money even when their sales are down, okay? They don't need you to buy their gas right away.
But if we don't buy it on a certain day,
day is not going to make a difference.
It doesn't work. And it doesn't work
by any level.
He's telling us.
And you're wrong, Chris. Seriously. Do some research and call us back. Jesus Christ, we've been through 80 of these. They don't work.
I only put him on the air to hear Bean go off because he hates that so much.
Let's go to Lee in Glendora, who has one of the most bizarre lawsuits you've ever heard in your life, and this one is true. Hi, Lee. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do, nephew?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I don't know if you guys heard about this judge that's suing these Korean folks because they, I guess, damaged or ruined one of his
favorite pair of pants.
Yeah. Hey, why did they have his pants?
They were cleaners. Cleaners.
Oh, dry cleaners.
Now,
oh, okay.
So ridiculous, too. It's $65 million.
Wait a minute. I heard that he put the pants in to be clean, and there were his favorite pants, and he wanted to wear them on his first day of court at the new as a judge or something. And the pants, they didn't get damaged, from what I understand. They just weren't ready. I heard the pants weren't ready. So he said, hey, you had a satisfaction guaranteed sign there, and is suing him for $67 million for not having his pants ready.
This is a judge?
No, yes. I think the pants are damaged because he extrapolated out all of the loss of happiness he's going to get from not being able to wear those
pants. Is that
pants.
What it is?
And that's why the number is so exorbitant, because he's extrapolated it out far into the future. They have denied him the pleasure of his pants for many, many years to come.
This guy
There's
is
so many versions of the story
sitting in court, right? He's the judge, this guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the things that he included in his suit, and correct me if I'm wrongly, but I thought I heard this, is that he wanted 10 years or something of weekend car rentals so that he could take his pants to another dry cleaner so he didn't have to go to this one that was near where he lived.
And I'm so sorry for having the wrong amount of 65. I mean,
yeah, you were way off, dude. 67.
65 is reasonable.
Right.
Yeah.
$65 million, I can see, but 67's out of his mind.
Is that unbelievable? I mean, don't you guys think that there's ought to be somebody who ought to say,
of course,
you're not allowed to be a judge or a lawyer anymore. We're pulling your ticket. You're fired, basically.
And you don't get to wear pants any longer.
Not like it. Ever.
Chris in North Hills. Good morning.
What do you do, nephew?
What do you do?
Hey, how's it going? You know, I went to the Van Nuys Ghetto Theater, on Man Theater, and I watched Spider-Man.
The Van Nuys Ghetto Theater?
Van Nuys Man Theater.
Oh, man, okay.
And Ghetto Theater.
Okay.
And when they introduced Harry in Spider-Man 3, I was yelling out, he died. And then when it brought him
Wait a minute. You were shouting out in the middle of the movie what happens at the end?
Yeah, no, I was just yelling out who dies in the movie. At the
so
end.
Why...
How is that different than what I said?
Why would you do that, Chris?
Because I'm an a-hole, that's why.
Yeah. So you were shouting out the ending as the movie went along.
Yep, and people were yelling at me, well, shut up, S.A., we're going to kill you, we're going to kick your ass.
You must be very proud.
Yeah.
Got a lot going for you.
You know, we're not responsible for phone lines that get disconnected if you don't get a prize for this call. There's nothing really we can do about it.
What's right? wrong with you saying that? That was a great call.
Kevin's people.
I can't support
No,
can't
he's an a-hole. He's clearly an a-hole, but... funny. Alex in Culver City, good morning.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
Well, what it do, nephew?
What's going on?
All right, so was it Saturday afternoon?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gonzalo.
Going to my job, get pulled over by a cop. At the time, I was changing from my gym shorts to some pants to go to work,
mm-hmm.
and my wiener gets stuck within my zipper.
Ah!
Oh!
Ah! You got pulled over while changing,
yes.
And so you tried to hurry it up?
You got it. So the cop pulls me over, sees that I'm crying like a 3-year-old girl, looks down at me and says, oh, you can go. And he lets me go.
Really?
Yeah. So that's the way to get out of
it. I guess he figured, that's the way to get out of a ticket.
But it
zip up your junk.
Hell.
Yeah, he probably figured you suffered enough.
Pretty much.
You probably give him another ticket for public indecency. Pervert.
Just added it on top. I like it. All right. Thank you for the call.
I hate our callers.
Well, we're not very patient with their stories. I'll say
They're horrible, Kevin.
Well, sometimes.
They tell horrible stories horribly.
I know, but it's a tough room is all I'm saying. As the
I'm
guy who gets mocked for telling
tougher
bad stories.
On our end than it is on theirs. That's all I'm telling you.
At least your hero is the guy who tries to ruin Spider-Man. At least that's the guy hero. You most want to reward. I like that.
He's not my hero.
Can I thank Allison Hannigan
no.
for stopping by today?
No, you just, can't. Oh. Because you don't know who she is. You have
of course
no idea
I know who she is.
Is.
I saw Date Movie. I saw American Pie. I loved her on Buffy. I loved her on Veronica Mars. I just don't watch How I Met Your Mother because I have a no CBS policy. That's the only reason I don't watch. I love her.
And then you try to BS your way through it by saying, oh, I saw a very funny episode where a girl gets a dildo for a gift.
Well,
That was me.
I'm not going to bother learning who all the characters are and who they play if I'm watching one episode with my wife. I'm just saying she's awesome.
You embarrassed us all.
What if it's the only person that comes into our studio all the time? What if it's
Can we agree that she's lovely and we love
yes.
her? Can we agree? That's all I'm saying. And you ought to watch Allison Hannigan in How I Met Your Mother, part one of a two-part season finale airs tonight on The Bad Channel, CBS Channel 2 at 8 o'clock.
All right. Tomorrow morning we have Mandy Moore.
Oh!
King of Mexico is going to be worthless tomorrow.
I don't know. I feel like he's over her since he and Kristen have the love relationship. I almost feel like he's kicked Mandy Moore to the curb now, don't you?
He's Dave, dude.
I know, but
he's not kicking anyone anywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
He's all Veronica Mars until tomorrow. He's like,
oh, Mandy Moore, your new album is so good. I like to listen to it. And I used to listen to everything you made.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Also, tomorrow is Threesome Tuesdays.
Sure.
We generally try to do this. This is a service we provide for our listeners. There's a girl named Monica who needs help putting together a threesome. And if she needs help, we're there for her.
Ralph, is that a tall order to fill for a couple that's looking for a young lady to include in the bedroom? Is it hard to find someone?
It can be. It's very intimidating for a single woman to go into a couple situation to be in a threesome if they don't know either party. Just to go in cold and just sort of be with two brand new people sexually, a man and a woman, it can be a little intimidating. So sometimes women are interested, but then have a hard time pulling the trigger because they get cold feet. So it can be a situation where a lot of women are interested, but then back out. So closing the deal can be difficult.
Is it smart for her to turn to us for help?
I think so, because if anyone can find a woman with the morally casual attitudes that will jump into the fray, I think it'll probably be people in our audience.
It would be us.
Yeah. Good point.
And also more tickets for the K-Rock We Roast E-Fiesta 2007.
And, of course, such enthusiasm, Michael. And, of course, you are listening for Silver Sun Pickups to sing Lazy Eye. When that plays, be caller 20. You'll win your tickets. Stick around for 40 minutes nonstop. K-Rock, Nine Inch Nails, they're new in Capital G. We also got some Green Day on the way. Also Modest Mouse, Chili Peppers, New Bad Religion, and more right after this on good old K-Rock.